Where's the joy?
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, October 31st, 2024. This is your award-winning Gibbon Nation Media Assassination, episode 1708.
This is No Agenda.
We're voting early and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA region number 6. In the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we're all saying, bring back the whoopee cushion. I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
I don't think any of us are saying that at all.
Yeah.
No one wants the whoopee cushion back. I still have one, probably. But they after a while, if you haven't used them for a while, then the...
Yeah, they don't work.
Yeah. Then the ends get frayed and it splits and it doesn't vibrate well enough. Do the kids these days even know what a whoopee cushion
is? No, this is the reason it should be brought back. It's one of the greatest gags in the world.
It is a good one.
Kids, find a whoopee cushion and learn how to use it correctly.
Hold on a second. What is the correct way to use a whoopee cushion, John C. Dvorak, expert of all things?
You pull a chair for somebody, you say, here, you can sit down. And it just says before they sit down, you toss the whoopee cushion under them. So as they sit, they make the farting sound. And everyone gets a huge laugh out of it.
Oh, see, I always thought you need to put it under like a cushion, the chair that has a cushion on it.
No, you want to do it a surprise attack.
Hey, this is a good parents. This is a good one for your kids. You know how parents love to terrorize their kids and put it on Instagram? Believe me, it's a horrible thing. You know what the latest is? Latest is the parent is in the bathroom and calls the kid and says, "Oh, I'm out of toilet paper. Come bring me some toilet paper." And these are 4-year-olds. The kid comes up and then the parent, usually the dad, surprise, surprise, has some chocolate, some melted chocolate on his finger. And the
I have not seen this joke.
The kids are, you know, they're gagging, they're crying, they're screaming. It's the meanest thing. I think you should try it with Theodore.
I don't think so.
It's dynamite.
It sounds funny, but it's like, yeah.
Yeah. Tina was showing me that. Oh, she got banned again. She's banned again from posting for 5 days.
She should be banned.
And so I said,
obviously, she is a troublemaker.
Well, she's not safe for the community, according to the message. I said, what
community is this?
Well, I said, what did you do? She says, I really don't know. I said, the last thing I did, and here it comes, Zara, which is a clothing manufacturer, they had an ad. And the ad was, and this happens all the time, the ad was for an item. And she's like, oh, I think I will order this item. So the ad's working. She clicks, and it's like not available, out of stock. And so she says, why are you doing this? This is deceptive advertising. And then she got banned. She messed with the primal forces of nature. She made
She messed with, this was a paid advertisement.
Yes, on Instagram. Yeah,
she condemned it,
mm-hmm. And then she got banned.
Can't do that.
Yeah, then she got banned. So we presume that's what.
How
it's
long
for.
Is she gonna the ban for?
5 days. Yeah, so she'll be
up and running. Have the shakes.
She'll be up and running by Monday, just in time for election. And everything took a beautiful turn.
How do you like my garbage, Chef?
It took a beautiful turn. Everybody's all jacked.
We're going to miss this as this election comes to fruition. It's going to be sorely missed.
Yeah, this was just the sequence of events where we'll get into the Hitler rally with the garbage comment, and then Biden with the garbage comment, and then Trump taking and running in with the garbage truck. I mean, this morning in Fredericksburg. There are MAGA houses with garbage bins outside.
I'm under the impression that in New York City, there are random people wandering around with that with the garbage vest.
I mean, why wouldn't you just go on election day and put a garbage bag on? I mean, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. The garbage bag. The vest is one thing, but people are putting garbage bags on their head as hats. I mean,
well, it's supposed to be tonight should be, it's supposed to be used a lot for the Halloween costume.
And you know, this whole episode reminds me of what we used to be like in America. We used to be funny. We had fun with stuff. We weren't all butthurt over comments all the time. I mean, this started during the course of the show, maybe 15 years ago. Whoa, oh, bullying, and bullying was the hate speech. Yeah, it was bullying, the hate speech, and then canceling and cultural appropriation. And I mean, Halloween, oh man, what can you even dress as anymore? What can you dress as? You can't dress as a Mexican. You can't dress as a cowboy or an Indian. You can't dress up as anything anymore. Like, now a garbage man is great. So I'm really happy that this is happening. And well, I see you actually have a very good version of the Biden garbage comment, which was hard to find audio wise and length wise. Can I play that?
Yes, this would trigger the whole thing. Let's see a little background for anyone out there who kind of missed this. I don't know how you
could. Anyone living under a garbage can, yes.
Is that just before Kamala gave her final and definitive speech on the lawn of the of Washington, D.C., the ellipse or whatever it's called, Biden, for some reason, this is the thing, I have questions about this, by the way. Biden goes on Zoom. And I don't know who, it was never explained who he's talking to on Zoom.
No. Or how it how this video got out.
Oh, how the video got out. But it was Jean-Pierre Claude Van Damme is the one who put him on Zoom, it turns out.
Uh-huh.
And so there's something screwy about that. But we don't know who he was talking to yet or why, and why it was just before Kamala's speech. It was sabotage.
I believe so, too.
Yeah, it was sabotage, and we're seeing a lot of sabotage. We're seeing some. I think there's also Roger Stone stuff going on.
he's still breathing.
Well, yeah. Well, he's a dirty tricks guy, and he knows how to do stuff like this. And so Biden comes in. This follows the Madison Square Garden event where the comedian, who you know, is a famous podcaster. What's his name?
Tony Hinchcliffe.
He's a insult comic type of guy, and he also does roasts.
Yeah, well, he has the Kill Tony podcast, which is kind of interview format, but then he also has this stage show, which I think is on four shows a week at Joe's Comedy Club, and he lets new comics come up. They get to do 1 minute of bit, and then they have a panel, and they just slaughter whoever's up there. So that's kind of the roasting part. But he's really a cultural insult comic, particularly during COVID. He was just, you know, saying the Chinese suck and they can't, you know, the whole thing. Some of it's really funny. Most of it's like, okay.
I thought his stuff was good.
He had good stuff.
And the joke that he did a joke that the Democrats tried to jump on, which was that he says, well, you know, there's a big, you know, we've heard about this big island of garbage in the ocean. He says it turns out to be Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And
by the way, he has sold out Madison Square Garden three times himself for a solo show.
So they've marginalized the guy as some crazy comic, but I guess, as you point out, he's not a marginal character. But the Puerto Rican thing, they tried to make hay with that. And so it didn't go anywhere, really, but it became kind of a topic of conversation until Joe Biden comes on the air on this Zoom call, and I guess distributed all over the place for some, again, unknown reason. Unknown biases, unknown discussion. We don't know anything about, but it was Biden, and he said the following.
Just the other day, a speaker at his rally called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know the Puerto Rican that I know, or Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware. They're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
So,
And by the way, he almost said where I'm from.
Yeah. where he went to school. I went to school with Puerto Ricans. So Scott Adams did something very interesting, and I believe he is correct. Although the you are correct about the sabotage, and I'm about to explain this with these three clips. So Scott Adams, he says, this is really a very fine people thing on the Biden side. And I'm just going to play it again, the last bit here, so we all are clearly hear what Biden said.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
Okay, the only garbage that I see floating out here is his supporters. Here's what Scott Adams said.
This story is total bullshit. He didn't say that. No, he didn't say that.
What?
Let me tell you what he said. The supporters, the word supporters, if you thought the supporters was apostrophe S, then what it means is the only garbage I see floating out there is coming from his supporters, meaning the things they say about Puerto Rico. The only garbage is something that belongs to his supporters, possessive S.
Now listen to it again.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
So I'm not, I think Scott has a very good point here. Word not that Karine Jean-Pierre Abdul-Jabbar did not explain it as a possessive. She explained it differently.
So just to clarify, he was not calling Trump supporters garbage, which is why he put out. This is why he wanted to make sure that we put out a statement that clarified what he meant and what he was trying to say. And so just want to make that very clear for folks who are watching. And I just want to read that out to folks. So he was regarding to the comedian.
So he was not saying this regarding to the comedian. In fact, he very clearly says supporters, plural with an S, one more time.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
It's about the S. Now, Karine Jean-Pierre is either so desperate or in such a destructive, and I think you're right, sabotage mode, that she even got a stooge of the press corps. I have not been able to figure out who it was. That's Ducey. No, it's not Ducey. It definitely is not him.
No, it's not Ducey.
Got a stooge from the press corps to ask to set her up with a question and explicitly say supporter, not S, not supporters, but supporter to legitimize and give her the alley-oop for her. Oh, no, that was about the comedian. Listen to this setup, which is really from a, I mean, this is not a press corps. This is a propaganda corps.
Can you just address the president's comments yesterday referring to Trump supporter as garbage?
Did you hear him say supporter? Even vocal fries it a little bit. Supporter.
Trump supporter as supporter garbage. And I know he's trying to clarify that he's trying to talk about what the person said. I want to know, does he think less of Americans who support Trump than he does of those who do not? And two, why is he using that kind of rhetoric? How is that presidential?
How about that setup question? Is this a moron or is this someone who's a shill in the audience? So, is he using that to say something bad about Trump supporters?
So, a couple of things. So, just
couple
to
things,
clarify.
Couple things.
He was not calling Trump supporters garbage, which is why he put out. This is why he wanted to make sure that we put out a statement that clarified what he meant and what he was trying to say. And so, just want to make that very clear for folks who are watching. And I just want to read that out to folks. So he was regarding to the comedian, and I quote, I refer to the hateful rhetoric about Puerto Rico spewed by Trump's supporter.
Supporter. Oh, now it's supporter.
What?
It's
what?
Supporter because he set it up. This is a sad setup.
About Puerto Rico spewed by bad. Trump's supporter at his Madison Square Garden rally as garbage, which is the only word I can think of to describe it. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable. That's all I meant to say. The comments at the rally don't reflect who we are as a nation.
It's not who we are. So even this, Scott Adams could pull this apart and say, no, it's about the supporter because she left off the apostrophe S. The bottom line, who cares? It's America. It's hilarious. Listen
well,
to this.
I have to add to this.
You need First to, of can, all. Can you turn your speakers down just a little bit? I can't. You keep cracking through the gate. Just a little bit.
What do you need?
Just your speakers down a little bit. Just a tad.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, just a little bit. You were jamming to Darren O. That's what was happening there.
Oh, yeah. That was it. So I was tapping my toe, actually.
Yeah.
And first of all, we heard what we heard.
Yes.
So Scott, I don't know why Scott's doing this, and I don't know why this is posturing.
Because
why don't they just own it?
Because he wants to be controversial and get people to think he's awesome.
The sentence that followed what he said with no edits is what Biden said. I don't have a clip of it. It is out there, though. Immediately after what he said, right at the end of that, he says, his demonization is unconscionable. Now, is he talking about the comedian?
Or about Trump?
Or about Trump. We yeah. know what he's talking about.
and we know
Joe Biden. If you're going to be calling everybody a Nazi, a fascist, a misogynist, you go on and on and on and
but
on.
But now he's Mr. Nice Guy.
I mean, so give me a break. All this is nonsense. And if nobody's going to buy it. And nobody's going to buy Scott's analysis.
No.
This was obvious what he meant. And he did it on purpose. And I think he may have subconsciously done it to sabotage the campaign, because he subconsciously hates the idea that he's not running, because he knows he'd be doing better than Kamala's doing.
Well, in grand American tradition, which is somehow the opposite of a Dean scream. I don't know how he does it. Trump just, and this sounds like, this has the whole feel like it's from his mind. Oh, get me a garbage truck. This is a great idea. Maybe he's
I have the explanation of how this came about.
Oh, let me play this quickie and then I want to hear explanation clip.
While former President Trump holds dueling campaign events in those same battlegrounds, speaking in North Carolina earlier, responding to President Biden's comments on Puerto Rico, insisting Biden called Trump supporters garbage, though the White House says that's not what he meant.
Joe Biden finally said what he and Kamala really think of our supporters. He called them garbage. And they mean it.
Today, ahead of his rally in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Trump in a garbage truck.
How do you like my garbage truck? This truck is in honor of Kamala and Joe Biden.
Both candidates will then head west tomorrow, with Trump expected at a rally in New Mexico and Nevada.
So the Hill Country Christian nationalists are all emailing Psalm 2, verse 4 around today. He who sits in heaven laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. It has ignited everybody with glee and humor. It's great.
Everybody loves this.
Yes. So how did Trump come about?
So Trump did the topper. There's a two-parter. These are the two Trump clips I have. He's in Green Bay wearing the vest.
The vest.
So he's wearing the vest.
It needs to be dirtied up a little bit. Needed a little, you know, like a half a banana peel or something. It was a little too clean.
Well, I don't think you have to go that far, but I'll say this. The vest he's wearing is not the vest he wore on the truck.
Oh, well, okay.
He changed the vest, but it still makes it sound like he did.
The Hardy Boys have figured something out.
It's a different vest, but that's okay. So he talks about how this came about, and it turns it into a new bit. This was 5 minutes, so I had to cut it in half and take some of the long applause lines out. But this is part one of his explanation.
This outfit, you know, is when he called us all garbage. How stupid! What a stupid word! That blows deplorable away, don't you think? Of course, I thought irredeemable when she said deplorable or irredeemable. I thought irredeemable was actually worse, but deplorable seemed to catch up. But this garbage stuff blows it away. So I'm in this beautiful plane. I'm enjoying myself. I have a wonderful suit on.
Beautiful plane.
And one of my people came in and said, "Sir, you know, the word garbage is the hottest thing right now." out there. The hottest thing out there, sir. Would you like to drive a garbage truck? Now, we're about, you know, 30 minutes from landing. We had to do this pretty quick. I said, it's sort of cool, though, isn't it? Because, you know, and I said, you know, I think that's okay. But, you know, I don't feel comfortable wearing a suit. And they pulled up this garbage truck. I don't know how the hell they did it so fast. I have very capable people. They put a big sign on the truck. Did you see it? I think they saw it. And then they said, sir, we have a vest. I said, well, should I leave my suit on and put it over the vest? But that doesn't look very good, right? That doesn't look good. So I said, all right, look, let me take it off. And then I actually said, I climbed into the truck. But here's the, so I said, how the hell do you get into this truck? It's way up high.
I saw that.
This was a beauty. I said, you didn't have to buy it that big, right? You have to get it that big. They brought this brand new, gorgeous truck, wonderful driver. He looked like Cary Grant in his prime. You know who that is?
Okay,
beautiful
boomer.
Driver. And he drove that big thing up. And I said, man, this is bad, because now I have all the cameras are all watching. Look, look at all the fake news. They were most of them.
He did have to do a little hoisting to get himself in, I noticed. I mean,
he pulled it off.
He pulled it off.
Yeah, well, he continues with the story.
Now, most of them, many of them were there. And I'm saying, oh, boy. You know, one little mistake with these guys and your political career is over. You can't even. So I said, man, if I don't get up there, this is going to be very embarrassing. These stupid people, they'll say, he's cognitively and physically impaired.
Yeah.
And I can't do that when I'm alongside of this great athlete. I got to get up to that. So look, so the stair, the first stair is like up here. I'm saying, shit. So I had the adrenaline going and I made it. I made it. And then I gave a little news conference from the front of the, you know, they asked their wise guy questions and everything. And then we drove about 2 feet. I got out, got in the car. And then I got in the car and I'm driving over here and I have this still on. And I come into the arena and I say, where's my jacket? I want to get out of this stage. And they said, it would be unbelievable if you could wear it on stage. I said, and I said, no way. I got 25,000 people standing outside. I got all these people here. There's no way I'm wearing it on stage. They said, oh, okay, sir. I said, get me my jacket. But if you did, you know, it actually makes you look thinner. I said, and they got me. I said, I want to wear it on stage. When they said I look thinner, I said, in that case, I'll wear a mask. I may never wear a blue jacket again. I may go. I may go in this. They said that. That was the word. That was the key. So you look thinner. So anyway, so we had a little fun about a very serious subject.
Yeah. I'm actually laughing about his shtick here. That is he's self-deprecating a lot more than he did in 2016 or 2020, for that matter.
Yeah, and that
it works.
That whole bit is very endearing.
So,
by the way, you know that's funny that getting into that truck because Brunetti has a fire truck that's similar to that garbage truck in terms of getting into it.
That's the one you crashed into the fence.
I never crashed into the fence.
That's what he says.
But you have to actually be shown how to get into it because you look at it as, well, how do you get into this thing? Mm. It's a very similar. You have to, and if you watch Trump get into it, you see that part of the mechanism is grabbing a hold of a couple of grips that you have to know where they are and you have to pull yourself in.
Well, what's happening here with this? You know, a typical retail politician move is you go to the rodeo, to the county fair, you eat the stupid corn dog, you know, you pretend you like the burger.
Yeah, and they take a picture of you sucking on a giant corn dog.
And you got to have your shirt sleeves rolled up and your jacket off, which is all phony. But this is such an obvious one. It makes so much. By the way, he also looks like an airport marshaler with the jacket on. He looks like a construction worker. I mean, people identify with that vest. So I think that will go down as just a brilliant move. I want to go back, though, because this all started and it was an I mean, I didn't clip my hate listen, but I'm telling you, Kara and Scott were like, this is the October surprise. Now we can get all the Puerto Ricans to vote for Kamala. And these people are so insanely stupid. I mean, and jitty about
the
it. Poor, too.
Wait, the October surprise was the comic?
Yes, that was the October surprise. Yes. And there was even some stories like it was people would email me. It was a setup, right? He was a setup for him to do that. I'm like, what are you talking about? So I'm going to go to NPR first because they summarized the Madison Square rally as you'd expect them to.
Former President Trump was in New York holding a rally at Madison Square Garden. And one of the speakers described Harris as, quote, the Antichrist. That was one of many insults and grievances as Trump made his final appeal to the nation.
NPR political correspondent Daniel Kurtzleben was in the arena. Daniel, good morning.
Hey.
Good morning. Good morning.
What was it like?
Well, it was a Trump rally, but it was dialed way up in intensity. It started with more than 4 hours of guest speakers. And the first guest of the night set what was a pretty vitriolic tone. Comedian and podcaster Tony Hinchcliffe joked that Puerto Rico is, quote, a floating island of garbage. He also said that Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce, quote, might be the next O.J. Simpson. Kelce, of course, is dating Harris supporter Taylor Swift. So what we have here seems to be a joke about killing one of the most famous women in the world. And it just went from there. One speaker seemed to imply that Harris is a prostitute. Tucker Carlson made fun of Harris being biracial. He also called her low IQ. Later in his speech, Carlson nodded to the racist great replacement theory. So just overall, a really inflammatory night.
Given that Republicans are trying to appeal to all kinds of people, this doesn't sound like a unifying message.
Big mistake.
No. Oh. And that matters. I mean, consider the gender gap in this election. Polls show Trump is ahead with men, but that he's well behind with women. Well, when one of his openers jokes about Taylor Swift being killed by her boyfriend, that arguably isn't a winning message for those women voters.
Wow, what a way to explain a joke. I need to say something about Hinchcliffe for a moment. Because I watched it, you know, I saw most of those in real time. And as I'm watching him, message was free speech, freedom of speech, and being able to say what you want and not everybody getting so butthurt. We happen to be rewatching all of Seinfeld, starting at episode one, which, by the way, Kramer was called Kessler in episode one, oddly, and episode two, he was Kramer. And, you know, so Jerry Seinfeld, if you've never seen the show, he does, you know, it opens with some stand-up of his where he kind of sets up with his observational humor, sets up the episode, and then he comes back about three quarters of the way through and then sometimes at the end. And I'm just thinking to myself, I remember what it was like in New York in the 80s. You had the Comedy Cellar and all these other places. And all of these comics would come onto MTV and, you know, Gilbert Gottfried, Judy Tenuta and Elmo.
Judy Tenuta.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. Now they would do VJ segments. And, you know, and obviously from time to time, hey, come by the club and see my set tonight. And they would do, you know, this kind of stand up that Tony Hinchcliffe is doing. And it was like no one was butthurt. You might get booed or heckled, but it wasn't like people were ready to go beat you up and call you a Nazi. And I mean, the Taylor Swift OJ joke was pretty funny in context. So we just lost that with the bullying and school and the hate speech and all this stuff. And somehow it came back and Hinchcliffe, along with others, is kind of making it okay to do that again without everybody getting all off kilter about it. Now, this Nazi rally comparison, 1939, this started with Atlantic Magazine. It started with an article by, I forget who it is, an Atlantic Magazine, which I can't read because it's behind a paywall, but all right, I guess NPR and all the hoity-toity people read it. And so they all went, oh yeah, that's right, it's a 1939 Nazi rally. And I just happened to come across this clip.
Is that the article that said that equated Trump with Hitler, yes. Stalin,
yes.
And?
Yes.
Oh, you know who the writer was?
Hit me.
Ann Applebaum.
Oh, well, of course. And we know who owns the Atlantic. Lorraine Powell Jobs. Lorraine Powell Jobs. I happen to have a short clip here of an interview that she did on Recode, which was Kara Swisher's conference. sitting on stage, it's Lauren Powell Jobs and Kamala Harris. How coincidental is that? And it's about why she bought Atlantic Magazine.
It was pretty obvious to me that we could build,
By the way, she's really pretty in this interview. You know, over time, I think she's gotten ugly because of the inside. She's like,
I agree with you 100%. And 100%. I said 100% on purpose.
That's all right. But she was pretty during this interview. Like, wow, she was stunning. And she became unpretty.
It was pretty obvious to me that we could build, we build out in a very cross-disciplinary way our work in, you know, capital investing and policy and philanthropy, and we could do this work forever and ever, and we could have the narrative overtaken by someone who has a lot of power, who's completely contrary to us, and we could never get to the place where we think we're part of a more just and equal society. And so it was obvious that if we could be part of the creation of cultural narrative, that would enhance and amplify all the work that we're doing.
Which is Hillary Clinton talked about today, is telling the story, getting the content out there.
Yeah, she was. Early days for us, but that's the idea behind it. We want to inspire the kind of stories that we'd like to see told.
Do you ever see you buying something bigger, like the New York Times, for example?
Is it for sale?
It could be for you.
So there it is. She bought it with her philanthropy and with her investments and with her contacts to set cultural narrative. And Applebaum, I'm sure they're all hanging out at the tea table. And they're, hey, I know what you got. I got a great idea, Lauren. I got a great idea. So then the mainstream, the M5M, comes into play. They've all got the memo. They've all got the message. Yep, this is it. We played some of it on the last episode. It was insane, the comparisons. Before the rally even took place, it was all just everyone off the hook. And I mean, seriously, and I have a...
And it's not even really the same venue. It's called the same thing, but the Madison Square Gardens of today was actually opened in 1968.
Oh, that's interesting. The
other
know that.
Place was not even, there. No, it was someplace else, which makes it funnier.
Yeah. So I have a series of NPR clips that are just, I have to play that because they're not to be believed, but I need to start with, cause, you know, Morning Joe, they've been all over this. They've been saying he's Hitler since 2015. But then Mika shows up on The View. And she has a rehearsed bit, which is just, I mean, she's a mental patient. Mental Mika.
It was pathetic.
Oh, you've seen this?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was everything that you need to know about Donald Trump in one weird white nationalist Nazi type rally. And of course, there's historic parallels to where and when
of
this
course.
Happened. But even more so, it also points out everything that we know, but it's important to act on right now because this is the moment and we won't have it again. Nobody gets a pass trashing America.
Yeah.
Puerto Rican Americans, nobody gets a pass degrading people.
This is so I'm sure Joe was like, Mika, this is your nobody gets a pass speech. It's beautiful. It's beautiful, baby. You go do it on The View.
Mm-hmm. Nobody gets a pass degrading legal migrants and terrorizing people. Nobody gets a pass threatening his enemies with using the military against them. Nobody gets a pass on inciting an insurrection. Nobody gets a pass on saying he fancies Hitler and wants to have generals like his.
Pretty fancy Hitler.
For those who don't know, Mika is Mika Brzezinski, daughter of famous Brzezinski, who was probably one of the biggest warmongers in our history, Afghanistan.
Well, he's a foreign policy wonk that worked under the Carter administration and others, and was definitely he was from Eastern Europe, and he hated the Russians, and he was just plotting against them, trying to get the U.S. government. He really would love to have seen World War III.
Nobody gets a pass on insulting veterans and saying those who died for our country.
I mean, I think she missed the very fine people, but she had everything else.
Are suckers and losers,
right.
Except for convicted felon Donald Trump.
Yes. Yes.
And guys,
oh, yes. Yes,
here's the warning. You all have set it up. But let me take it a step further, please,
please.
If
yes,
I may.
Please, mm-hmm. You may.
This is called normalization.
Remember this word, normalization. It's very dangerous. This is called, John, in case you didn't know, this is called normalization.
This is called normalization.
Yes. Yes.
This is the descent into fascism, if we so choose.
Yeah.
Normalizing January 6th, it's a day of love. It's a day of love. I'll say it again and again and again. Normalizing enemy from within. I'll say it again and again. I'll say it again and again. Until you get tired
again.
Of it. Until it's not so funny anymore. Or you think he doesn't mean it until you realize he does mean it and it's too late.
Too late.
Saying,
too late.
Now wait, now she's going to wind it up by talking about herself and her poor parents. Her poor parents. The evil chess master himself, Brzezinski.
These strict abortion bans.
Oh, no.
Are a beautiful thing.
They're beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? We got to wake up. And here's the good news, because I come with such dire warnings,
good
and
news.
I mean them.
Good news.
From the bottom of my heart, as a daughter of refugees who came here escaping war.
To go and try and start more war.
Came here for America, to be a part of a democracy.
Yes.
To be a part of building something beautiful where they could be free.
And kill other people.
I'm telling you, the good news is that I believe women will be the beacon in this election.
Women will be the beacon in this election. Okay. So,
oh my God.
It went on for two more minutes and she's almost crying. Now,
she's a terrible person.
Yes, she is. So now NPR, and this, I mean, this just blew me away. I have the setup clip is a little long. The rest are quite short. So on the media, Brooke Gladstone, on the media, Brooke Gladstone. She had Jason Stanley on the show. And she will introduce his credits in a moment. But I did not want to withhold the setup. Pay attention to the music. Someone should get some kind of award for the music with her opening about this horrible, horrible man of Hitler.
On Sunday, Donald Trump hosted a rally at Madison Square Garden in New York, prompting critics to compare the event to another one in the same place many years ago.
No, not the same place.
It was not the same place. Fake news.
Fact check false.
In 1939, more than 20,000 supporters of a different fascist leader, Adolf Hitler, packed the garden for a so-called pro-America rally.
Mind you, this is NPR, your national public radio.
Yes,
your national
notice the
treasure.
Way they use the word, the usages here. A different fascist leader.
Oh, yeah. It's too delicious
implying,
to believe.
Implying, of course, that Trump is a fascist leader.
Oh, they're going to straight up say it. Don't worry.
Packed the garden for a so-called pro-America rally. A rally where speakers voiced anti-Semitic rhetoric from a stage draped with Nazi banners.
Those speeches in New York drew chilling attention to the ways in which American policy had inspired the Führer.
American lawmakers generations ago promulgated laws forbidding intermarriage.
I love this. So to set your tone, they bring out this old speech, you know, like, these are American Nazis. Oh, no.
Between white and black, yellow, brown and red inhabitants. It has then always been
Irish.
Very much.
What?
The guy sounds Irish.
Hey, mine be.
Much American. Wherever a race problem became acute, to instinctively attempt to create legislation designed to protect the Aryan character of this nation.
Oh,
at
Aryan.
Sunday night's rally at the Garden, Trump and his allies, untempered and unbound, traded in racist tropes and
untempered and unbound
nationalistic rhetoric to an eager crowd warmed up by the insult comic Tony Hinchcliffe.
I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah, I think it's called Puerto Rico.
The lineup included Tucker Carlson, Elon Musk, RFK Jr., Rudy Giuliani, and the irresolutely
Nazis.
Jingoistic Stephen Miller.
America is for Americans and Americans only.
And of course, the main attraction.
The United States
is now an occupied country, but it will soon be an occupied country no longer. Not going to be happening. Not going to be happening.
Okay. So, and just everything is a beautiful setup. So now she brings in the professor. They always bring in these professors.
This is, by the way, what you're playing is absolutely shameful.
Oh, we're only getting started. She brings in a professor.
People, by the way, yes. People who send their money to NPR should be sending it to us.
Yes. So Jason Stanley is going to introduce some new concepts to us, some new terms, and he is going to explain the fascism of Trump. And his credits will be mentioned in the intro here.
In the past few weeks, there seemed to come a tipping point where Trump's speeches became increasingly specific about the vengeance he'd wreak against his enemies.
Vengeance.
And even those who had hesitated were now...
Listen to the music going...
The music is terrible.
No, it's great.
...against his enemies. And even those who had hesitated were now applying the word fascist to the GOP's nominee.
Even those who hesitated.
On last week's show, we aired an interview with Jason Stanley, a professor of philosophy at Yale University, who has used the F word to describe Trump early and often.
Professor of philosophy. Now, does a professor of philosophy, is he then an expert in fascism?
Well, that's a funny thing. You should ask that, because fascism was a kind of philosophically bound to certain philosophers.
Well, let's.
So I think you could. It's a stretch, but not a bad one.
Let's listen to the good professor.
Trump early and often.
I've been sort of involved in the let's call it fascism wars since my 2018 book, when I talked about how much the rhetoric we're seeing is just very clearly fascist rhetoric.
So Trump's been called authoritarian, dangerous for democracy for a long time. What has he done or said or implied that advances him from a threat to democracy? To a fascist.
Yeah, I think focusing on Trump is a mistake, because it's really the whole fascist social and political movement. And this is why the history of the United States is so vital. Rather than looking at Europe, where we did have figures like Mussolini and Hitler, we need to look at the whole structure. For example, Langston Hughes in 1937 said, Black Americans don't need to be told about fascism. It's just a European word for Jim Crow. But now we have a much more European structure.
What?
With a fascist leader of a fascist social and political movement, a kind of Christian fascism here.
There we go.
We have another atheist speaking up. We've got
Christian fascism. Oh, it's good. What are the stepping stones?
What are the stepping stones? What is happening now that so alarms you?
Well, you're looking at the targets of fascism. Immigrants, LGBTQ people, which were central targets of the Nazi party. Gender fluidity is an enemy of fascism, because fascism is about making sure the dominant group remains numerically the largest group. And women are there to bear children. So the idea of trans women is antithetical to the central role, the identity of women in fascist ideology. On the federal level, you've already...
Isn't this great?
Is this guy just making it up as he's going along?
No.
Gender ideology is somehow now tied up in this whole thing?
Oh, yeah. You can't have trans women,
so
because...
this guy is basically a genderist.
Well,
see in Project 2025 and elsewhere,
there it is.
Trump has been clear that they want to remove federal funding from school districts unless they use immutable gender categories. So all children born male must be referred to with male pronouns.
Oh, the humanity.
Oh, the pronoun nut.
Oh, the humanity. And of course, you know, this proof that this is happening. I mean, just take a look at it.
And we're already seeing that here. The Supreme Court has been altered, so it's just a vehicle for far-right policy at this point and for Trump.
Oh, it's been altered. By the way, Democrat senators also voted for the Supreme Court justices. We seem to forget that. It's like Trump just said, get in there. Get in there. Now back
and
to
it hasn't been altered. any more so than it's ever been altered by changing justices. When one quits, another one gets put in.
Now we go to the normalization bit.
This is a 911 call. Those who are refusing the label of fascism are normalizing what we're seeing.
Do you hear a narrative here? This normalization? He got the memo. He got the memo.
Are normalizing what we're seeing. Because the impact of saying this is not fascism, that impact on listeners is, okay, we don't, really don't need to worry much. This is politics as usual. This is not politics as usual. That's not to say that these forces haven't always been here in the United States. There's another way of looking at it, just where this is sort of a victory of whatever the Jim Crow South has transformed into. And I think there's widespread agreement that this is the federalizing of what's happening in states like Texas now. In the Black American tradition, you call those forces racial fascism.
Racial fascism. I don't know what I am now. I'm a racial Christian nationalist fascist.
You know, these guys in this Jim Crow meme, nobody knows what they're talking about. This is elitist bullcrap.
Well, it's NPR, elitist voices. Okay, why are people voting for Trump? I mean, if he's a fascist, this is not good.
So let's consider why people vote for Trump. Some say it's because he'll solve structural problems within American democracy.
Yeah.
Do you think that people who vote for Trump do it because of or despite his fascist leanings?
There is a large list.
Wow, what a leading question.
This is a great. I'm.
Are you still beating your wife? Come on, yes or no? Are you still beating your wife? Yes or no?
His fascist leanings.
There is a large literature on what makes people vote for authoritarians or strongmen, in Ruth Ben-Gvir's terms.
Strongmen.
The authoritarian personality, work by Adorno and co-authors, published in the early 1950s.
Oh, he's got facts, John. I'm a little intimidated.
All about this. The authoritarian personality being someone who leans towards voting for fascist leaders. They even came up with something called the F scale, the fascism scale, for measuring this. And the features are things like being raised in a patriarchal family, because patriarchy is very central for fascism. And the whole idea of...
Hold on a second. If you're raised in a patriarchal family, i.e. you got a dad, you got a mom, then you're pretty much on track to be a fascist. Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly what you're hearing.
Okay. Family. Because patriarchy is very central for fascism. And the whole idea of decline is connected with feminism.
The country goes downhill if women stop having babies and start taking leadership roles.
No, that of course we can't have women in leadership roles. I got it. Now,
this is, by the way, before I forget, this is leading to the bonus clip.
Oh, good, good, good. I have the bonus clip. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. These are short.
Keep going.
These are short.
I'm enjoying this. Believe me.
Okay. So now,
this guy who is obviously a genderist, who is gay. There's no question. And a gay atheist. And he's setting back the gay agenda
a gay decades. Theist. Hold on. He's a gay theist. Let me put that
he's
down.
A gay theist. Oh, we should use that.
I think gay theist. That gay theist is an interesting show title. But it's not just Trump. I mean, he's going to roll everybody up in here. And Brooke has a very interesting observation here about democracy. You know, now, just to remind everybody, we live in a constitutional republic. We have representative government. But our democracy. And she's actually going to explain what she believes democracy is. A very short clip.
I mean, that's why we have to recognize that this isn't just about Trump. This is a social and political movement of Christo-fascism, if you will, and libertarians.
What is Christo-fascism?
Christian.
Okay.
And libertarians who want the government to be essentially eliminated.
Libertarians are fascists.
Libertarians
of all the people that call fascists, libertarians.
And libertarians who want the government to be essentially eliminated so they can have full power and not be constrained by essentially working class Americans.
So they don't
what?
Have- they want.
So now they're government hate. Anarchists.
Anarchists, yes.
Somehow Libertarians are anarchists, is what he said.
Now, Brooke is going to expand on this. Very short, so just listen, 18 seconds. What democracy really is.
Working class Americans.
So they don't have to share. I mean, isn't that what it's about?
Yes. It's about sharing because democracy is about sharing.
What?
What? What?
Democracy is about sharing, John. Listen.
It's about
this
sharing.
This is the real, the basic breakdown between the left and the right, which is one side wants
sharing.
It's communal. It's communist. They want socialism, and they want government control, which is forced sharing. You're forced to share. Here, give me your money. I'm going to give it to this guy.
Yep.
As opposed to self-help, which is the other side of the equation.
Here we go.
It's about sharing because democracy is about sharing. Democracy is the idea that it's our country together, and we work together to have public goods like public schools, which are under attack by this social and political movement.
Arbeit macht frei.
And by the way, there is nothing about democracy and public schools. There's no connection. I don't get this.
Well, there is. And if you listen to the whole interview, he talks about, you know, how incredibly important it is that we keep the Department of Education so we can continue to indoctrinate the children into sharing, into the concept of democracy is sharing. I mean, this is very infantile speak, but it's propaganda. Democracy is about sharing. Don't you want to share, Jimmy? Come on, Johnny. Don't you want to share with Adam? We share, and we all like to work together. And we work according to what we can do, and we all have equal outcomes. It sounds fantastic. Yes.
According to his needs.
There you go. Marx
from each according to his abilities. That is not democracy. That is communism.
Yes. Two more here. Now, of course, he doesn't mention podcasts, but it's kind of in here. But it's really the media. I mean, it's especially local radio. And I mean, just radio. I mean, it's television, radio. It's there. They're doing it.
We have the destruction of local media by being bought up by these, in the case of Sinclair, or far right media conglomerates.
And a lot of local radio has been bought up by, I guess you would call it, Christian fascists.
Yes. And that's not local media.
Yes.
I mean, what about Soros?
I know. It's like no mention of Soros buying all the radio stations. Obviously, I'm not going to say that because we know that that's bull crap too.
Yes. And that's not local media. I mean, people will simply cease to trust media. And that environment, as we know, combined with social media, results in conspiracy theories having Ferrari engines.
Oh, conspiracy theories with Ferrari engines. And then he wraps it all up by crazily enough saying...
Well, hold on a second. So that was the best he could do for a metaphor? Conspiracies, which have nothing to do with automobiles or anything, with Ferrari engines. And this is like a... This is lame, this guy. He's not good.
He's a gay theist.
He's a gay theist. What do you expect?
Now I was going to wrap it up by saying it's really not fascism.
People get bogged down in these kind of irrelevant details. What we have is a far right authoritarianism that targets the same targets Hitler did. And the people who are like, Jews? Okay, you shouldn't call it fascists, fully agree that this movement has all the dangers of fascism. So I use the term fascism because we don't have another word for something that looks so much like fascism. Everyone agrees, even in the fascism debate, that what we're facing is very dangerous.
Money shot. Look, we don't have a word for it, so we'll just use fascism. Come on, NPR. You're out of control.
I know. So that brings me to a clip. I actually wanted to, I'd rather play a couple other things before I get to the Cuban clip.
Sure.
Which is more crap from these people. This is a campaign about the DC speech, PBS. This is PBS, not NPR. I got NPR stuff too.
Yes.
I got NPR and the garbage. So I have four clips here.
You probably should play the, just so we get it straight.
The greatest voices of America. This is NPR or PBS.
So PBS, which is very slanted, it's really pathetic, actually. But here they're talking about they're wrapping the campaign. We only got 5 days left.
Oh yeah.
And so we're going to talk about the D.C. speech, that Kamala, all this great speech she gave, the one that was undercut by Biden's garbage comment. They don't.
No one's talking about her D.C. speech.
But PBS is. Here we go.
Of course.
Meanwhile, Vice President Kamala Harris made her case in North Carolina's capital of Raleigh.
We have just 6 days left in one of the most consequential elections of our lifetime. And we have work to do.
In Washington, D.C. last night, a crowd in the tens of thousands gathered to see Harris deliver her closing arguments on the White House Ellipse lawn, the same place Trump gave his infamous January 6th speech.
We know who Donald Trump is. He is the person who stood at this very spot nearly 4 years ago and sent an armed mob to the United States Capitol to overturn the will of the people in a...
Wait a minute. They were armed with appeal to heaven flags. Is she doing this on the mall?
She's doing it. Yeah, it's called the Ellipse, I think.
Oh, the Ellipse, yes.
Free and fair election.
Harris painted Trump as a threat to democracy and vowed to represent all Americans.
These United States of America, we are not a vessel for the schemes of wannabe dictators.
Wannabe.
The United States of America is the greatest idea humanity ever devised. Ooh. A nation big enough to encompass all our dreams, strong enough to withstand any fracture or fissure between us, and fearless enough to imagine a future of possibilities. So America, let us reach for that future.
Last time she spoke, wasn't democracy fragile?
I don't know.
So they gave, that's kind of the best they could do by pulling what they could pull.
It's inspirational. It reminds me a bit of Martin Luther King.
She's screaming at the top of her lungs. Where's the joy?
Yeah. Where's the joy?
So they continue the report and they give they talk about Trump's campaign where he is.
Oh,
and tell me you can't hear the slant, this anti-Trump slant from PBS. And I will say to people out there, if you're donating to this PBS operation in any way, shape, or form, stop it.
And give it to us.
Exactly.
Trump made his closing arguments with a large rally at New York's Madison Square Garden last Sunday, an event later criticized for racist and sexist rhetoric throughout, including a comedian calling Puerto Rico a, quote, floating island of garbage. Trump responded to the criticism last night on Fox.
They put a comedian in, which everybody does. You throw comedians in. You don't vet them and go crazy. It's nobody's fault. But somebody said some bad things.
President Biden also weighed in on a Zoom.
I didn't know Trump was backpedaling that. Somebody said
he was caught off guard right there. Mm.
But somebody said some bad things.
President Biden also weighed in on a Zoom call with Latino supporters last night.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. his demonization of Latinos is unconscionable. And there it's un-American. Is.
Wow. Now that. Wow. I'm sure.
Yeah, that adds to the context.
Yeah, I'm sure he's not only talking about Kill Tony at that point. He's clearly talking about Trump.
Yeah, so, in fact, there was one little addition at the end there, the demonization. He had another little. Why don't you back it up and see if we can play that again?
Call with Latino supporters last night.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable, and it's un-American.
His demonization of things is unconscionable. So it wasn't just about Tony demonizing Puerto Rico, which he wasn't. So, yeah, there you go. Scott Adams should listen to everything in context.
Later clarifying, he was referring to the comedian's rhetoric, not Trump voters.
Good try.
And by the way,
Harris.
Stop. When did we ever hear Biden say any of this clarification stuff? This was all came from John Pierre.
She wrote a statement. He didn't say anything.
He never apologized.
Did you see him at the Halloween party?
No.
Oh. So first of all, he comes out with the giant panda. So it wasn't the Easter bunny this time. It's a giant panda.
Well, the Easter bunny scares him. So
the panda is handling him. He's pointing out over there and he goes, huh? And he walks over. It's a pandler, a literal pandler.
A pandler. We're coming up with a million of them today.
Oh, it's a pandler. And then, you know, like, oh, look at this cute baby. And he goes up and he's biting the baby.
Oh, yeah, he bites the baby. And then another baby, he bit the other baby, too. He bit two babies.
I mean, he didn't get enough for lunch. I mean, come on, Joe.
His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable, and it's un-American.
Later clarifying, he was referring to the comedian's rhetoric, not Trump voters. Today, Harris distanced herself from his remarks.
First of all, he clarified his comments, but let me be clear. I strongly disagree with any criticism of people based on who they vote for. And as president of the United States, I will be a president for all Americans, whether you vote for me or not.
Her running mate, Governor Tim Walz, echoed that message in Charlotte, North Carolina.
We can choose a path that includes everyone, that is hopeful, that it adheres to the American values, or we can get dark, negative, and sink into a place that's all about one person, Donald Trump. That's the choice.
But the Trump campaign pounced, with Senator J.D. Vance saying Harris and Biden should be ashamed of themselves. That, too, comes in the context of a pattern of coarse and insulting language from Trump.
Joe Biden became mentally impaired. Kamala was born that way.
We can't stand you, you're a vice president.
Including these remarks today about Democrats.
It's the most corrupt, horrible people. These are horrible people. Oops, we should get along with everybody. They're horrible people.
So there's a little angle difference there between those two.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Well, let's go to NPR. This is NPR in the garbage remark.
Okay.
Just the other.
I'm sorry. Wait, NPR garbage. Oh, I got it.
His rally today was mostly pretty standard for Trump. He talked about his plan to do mass deportations. He also talked about inflation. But also, as you mentioned there, he really railed against this comment that President Biden made Tuesday night. Biden had been talking about Trump's Sunday Madison Square Garden rally, where at that rally, a comedian referred to Puerto Rico as a, quote, floating island of garbage. Biden, in talking about this stuff.
Yeah, that is just in general. This is very dishonest reporting. You should say a comedian made a joke where the Puerto Rico was the brunt of a joke, but to say he referred to Puerto Rico as a floating island of garbage is dishonest.
Not only that, but it's both this report and the other one, if you noticed, they said, quote, floating island of garbage.
Oh, interesting.
A comedian referred to Puerto Rico as a, quote, floating island of garbage. Biden, in talking about this, stumbled over his words, and it momentarily sounded like he was calling Trump supporters garbage.
Huh. Okay, so you have this comment from Biden, and you have a series of racist and misogynist comments from that New York rally. Tell us how Trump addressed all of that today, did he?
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so you have this stumble quote from Biden. Wow. These people are all, they're going to be out of a job. Podcasting is taking over.
Jeff Bezos, podcasting maybe. Jeff or they're going to try to podcast with their 30 producers.
Did you see Jeff Bezos? He said, our problem is these podcasters.
No, you have to get that clip.
No, it's not a clip. The lack of credibility isn't unique to the Post. Our brethren newspapers have the same issue, and it's a problem not only for the media, but also for the nation. Many people are turning to off-the-cuff podcasts.
Off-the-cuff, so there's no work involved.
No, just sitting down, just yapping. Inaccurate social media posts and other unverified news sources, which can quickly spread misinformation and deepen division. It's our fault. Off the cuff, you.
You know what's interesting about that quote and others, especially the stuff you see on Mastodon, and I'll point the finger at Dan Gilmore, who's one of these ex-reporter. I don't know what he's doing now, but he was a professor at the University of Arizona for Arizona State, one of the two, Arizona State for a while, teaching. Oh, we had to be activists as journalists. We shouldn't be balancing anything. But then they're condemning like Twitter, and they're condemning podcasts. They condemn. Meanwhile, Gilmore's the guy who wrote a book about citizen journalism,
yes.
is exactly what this is.
Sources go direct.
Citizen journalism is Twitter.
Yeah.
But okay. It's all bad now that it's turning on them. Okay, this is NPR and garbage too, and I have the Cuban clip and I'm done.
I'm excited.
Okay, well, despite trying to draw attention to Biden's comments, Trump is still fielding a lot of criticism from that New York rally, right?
Right?
Very much. The Trump campaign has distanced itself from that one specific joke about Puerto Rico, but they haven't really answered for the other vulgar statements made at that rally. And there were a lot of those statements about Kamala Harris, about women, about Latinos as a whole. Plus, Tucker Carlson told the crowd that political leaders are trying to replace American voters, which is a reference to the racist great replacement theory. At any rate, Trump is doing this very broad cleanup. He has called the New York rally a love fest. And at a rally in Pennsylvania last night, he said, quote, "Nobody loves our Latino community and our Puerto Rican community more than I do."
Wow, he's so bad. Wow.
So I caught this on this morning's Outnumbered, a Fox show, where Kayleigh McEnany played, and it starts off with Mark Cuban on The View, and he's not actually on The View, he's calling in.
Yeah.
So it's like a remote, and I don't understand why he couldn't do the show, and they wouldn't bring him in, or they just had to have him on. I don't know what the deal is with this. Is a Zoom call on The View, and Mark Cuban condemning Trump women, and then this is followed immediately by Kayleigh just being personally offended and going nuts. And here we go.
Donald Trump, you never see him around strong, intelligent women, ever. It's just that simple. They're intimidating to him. He doesn't like to be challenged by them.
Mark Cuban. Okay, I had to take a breath before this because this is so profoundly offensive. I worked for Donald Trump. I consider myself a strong woman. I consider those around me strong women. Kellyanne Conway, Brooke Rollins, Ivanka Trump, Hope Hicks, Sarah Sanders. That's before we get to the women that Donald Trump elevated to very high levels, like Nikki Haley, who still supports him, like Amy Coney Barrett, who he put on the Supreme Court, or the women currently around him. Susie Wiles comes to mind, Caroline Leavitt. That is so offensive. And you know why? Because it's not just about the women who worked for him. He said the women around Donald Trump. This comes right after the Joe Biden garbage comment. Okay, the women around Donald Trump, what about the women who vote for Donald Trump? Are they weak? Are they dumb? Did Mark Cuban just insult any woman who supports Donald Trump? Because it's a little, very small step from that. And this is an official Harris campaign surrogate, Mark Cuban. That is misogynistic in my view. Get out of here, Mark Cuban. Kamala Harris, he's your surrogate. I want to hear from you. Do you agree the women are weak and ineffective, whatever he said? Get out of here. And I can't wait to hear from you, Kamala.
A woman scorned.
Like Mark Cuban, who cares about Mark Cuban? Who cares about any of these people?
He's just a nudnik. He's a nudnik. Nick.
I don't care about anybody but John C. Dvorak. You know, what you say matters. Nothing else these people say matters. I like to listen to my own billionaires.
Well, you're not getting one here.
I need to play just a couple things about, because they're, you know, obviously we're getting close to the election. I early voted. We have we do not have Dominion voting machines here. There's a big explanation for how they work and what they do and what they don't. And no pictures. Is your phone off? Not allowed.
Is that right?
Yep. Yeah, no pictures. I said,
Before you discuss that any further, can I play this little short clip from PBS on paper ballots?
Yes. Here we go.
The race for president ran through the Tar Heel State today. Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump both rallied in North Carolina, one of the crucial swing states that could secure a victory in next week's election.
In Rocky Mount, North Carolina, former President Donald Trump urged voters to send him back to the White House.
This election is a choice between whether we'll have a four more years of gross incompetence.
Continuing to sow doubt about the security of the election.
I'm hearing all sorts of stories. We're not going to have the result by Tuesday night. We spend all this money on computers. If you go back to paper ballots and it's watermarked, you know, paper is now very sophisticated, believe it or not.
In fact, the vast majority, over 97% of votes cast in this election, will be recorded on paper, the head official in charge of U.S. cybersecurity and infrastructure told the NewsHour recently.
First, got to remember, election infrastructure, the voting systems where Americans cast their ballots, not connected to the internet. So very difficult for somebody to hack into those voting machines. Secondly, over 97% paper ballots that voters can look at and verify themselves.
Yes, I should.
This is a lot.
Well, yeah, hold on. Hold on. I should clarify. It was a paper ballot. I filled it in with a pen, but it then goes into the ballot scanner, and that's where, and I don't know if anyone else has it, when you put it in, and it sucks it in, and then I'm waiting for a receipt. That's your immediate feeling. It's like, oh, shouldn't I have a receipt that shows that this is what I voted for? Because I don't know what this machine has now registered.
Yeah, exactly. And so is that a paper ballot? Does that count as a paper ballot? A paper ballot to me is something you fill out and then it goes into a pile and somebody hand counts it.
Well, they keep the paper ballot. That's the point, is that if there is an issue, then they can go back and count the paper ballot.
When you use the Dominion system,
that's no paper ballot.
It coughs out a paper ballot when you're done with a barcode on it that you can't read.
No, I know. And I don't.
This is a bull crap comment.
Yes. Well, you're in the part of the 3%. It's California. And there were some issues with the Colorado voting machines, which were not this is that Colorado thinks she's Secretary of State. She was the nut job with the Trump derangement syndrome. Do you remember her? She's like, man, forget what she was all. What she had her panties in a bunch about, but now she's they're calling for her resignation.
Secretary of State under fire tonight amid calls for her resignation from Colorado Republicans. It comes after partial passwords for voting systems were posted in a spreadsheet that anyone could download from the Secretary of State's website.
There you go. We talked to Secretary of State Griswold this afternoon, who says only partial passwords were exposed.
Partial passwords.
So she says it didn't pose an immediate.
What's a partial password? You get it back. It says PASSW blank.
I mean, I understand what's going on. And I know that it has it's like a two-factor authentication with a second password, which is probably a general password. But they're calling it partial passwords because that makes me feel good.
Only partial passwords were exposed. So she says it didn't pose an immediate security threat to Colorado election.
Colorado's elections have layers of security.
Layers.
So you actually need two passwords and physical access to voting equipment to use the passwords for them to be worth anything. A civil servant who hid the tabs on that spreadsheet is no longer with the department.
Is dead.
Secretary Griswold says the passwords were online for months before her office was notified last Thursday.
Republicans are demanding she resign. State Minority Leader Rose Puglisi released these statements on behalf of Colorado House Republicans, saying, quote, while I have the utmost trust in the integrity of our county clerks who actually oversee the counting of votes, I have no trust that Secretary Griswold is capable of leading our election system. Enough of her incompetence. It's time for her to resign.
Get rid of her. She needs to go. Needs to go. So the couple other issues, we have a little more information about the ballot box that was lit on fire.
We want to turn now to the FBI investigation into a suspected arson attack on ballot drop boxes, one in Oregon and one in Washington State. A law enforcement source confirms the incendiary devices used in the sabotage were marked with the words Free Gaza. Well, tonight, police warn the suspect may strike again. CBS's Nicole Skanga is here with some new developments. All right, what have you learned from your reporting?
Isn't that interesting? So it was some some anarchist, leftist, socialist nut job who did this, and we're not outraged? No.
Nor investigators are still searching for a motive in these ballot box fires, but a law enforcement source tells CBS News it's still unclear whether the suspect here is a pro-Palestinian sympathizer or just trying to stoke controversy. This is what's left of hundreds of burnt ballots inside a drop box in Clark County, Washington. An election official said an unknown number of other ballots were destroyed. The FBI has taken both incendiary devices to their laboratory in Huntsville, Alabama, for forensic analysis and are still searching for a male suspect who is driving this dark-colored Volvo sedan.
A Volvo! This should be easy. Anyway.
Those damn Volvo guys.
I'm telling you. And but you know, the rhetoric,
I love my truck and I love what I do.
The rhetoric is being cranked up, and well, we're back to our old hijinks. People are stealing lawn signs. It's an outrage. But oh, there's some tips from Reuters if someone's trying to steal your Kamala Harris lawn sign.
The fight for votes is raging not just in battleground states, but also across the front lawns of America.
Oh, no!
Many voters have recently reported their campaign lawn signs being stolen, and they're going to great lengths to fight back.
Isn't this something that's been done for 100 years? People stealing lawn signs, putting other lawn signs in. Isn't this... I mean, have we not heard this for 5 cycles that this happens? I'm asking you. It's not rhetorical.
I don't know when lawn signs even began. I don't pay any attention to them, but...
But this
yeah, I would assume that people were defacing, removing, replacing lawn signs since the Adlai Stevenson days.
Didn't a Trump guy, I'm recalling... that he electrified his lawn sign?
Well, there's a guy who electrified. My favorite one, though, was somebody had placed there's a bunch of YouTube and TikTok videos of this, these gags. Somebody had put a bunch of like bungee spikes over on a lawn sign. It wasn't on lawn, but it's on the side of the road so you could easily, and some guy did, drive over and knock the sign over with your car and then get back on the road easily enough, but it was, you get a flat tire doing it.
All right, so listen to this.
I think it's one of those election year irritants, like those spam fundraising text messages you get or the attack ads you see on TV all the time. The people I talked to said, not only is it theft, you're stealing something from somebody, but also you're suppressing their free speech. To certain people, it can feel a bit like voter intimidation.
How are these frustrated folks fighting back?
Here we go.
The most ingenious way to prevent this from happening, or to at least catch the thief, is the use of Apple AirTags. I spoke to two people who did that. They had their signs taken, then they put one of those little tracking devices on there, and when their sign got stolen, both of them said, well, they could see it travel around in a car as the car went to a house. And so then they can call the police and the police can show up and say, did you take this? Is this not yours? Whereas otherwise, it can be very difficult to prosecute. Police are not going to spend a lot of time on something like this when the theft is an item that typically costs $20 or so. And then on top of that, there's the more low-tech solutions. People say a common way to protect your signs is to smear them with Vaseline and glitter. That way, the thief touches the sign, they get glitter and goop all over their hands. And evidently, it's very hard to get glitter off your hands.
Oh, my.
How about some C5 and a remote control?
C4. I don't know what C5 is.
You know, why do I keep... I always say C5. I think it has something to do with that Lockheed jet, maybe.
Oh, yeah. C4. And so while all this is going on,
Semtex, say Semtex. Okay.
While all this is going on, Rachel Maddow is still on MSNBC and she rolls out creaky Victoria Nuland.
Yes, I saw this.
Russia-phobe emeritus.
Oh, she's the worst. The two of them together, it's like I'm surprised the station didn't explode.
To just let us know that Vladimir Putin is doing it again.
Third election in a row in which Russia has tried to interfere to try to get Trump into the White House. How do you assess the magnitude and the type of interference they're attempting this year compared to what they've done in his previous two elections?
Well, as you said earlier, Rachel, he's at it again. This time he's not even trying to hide his hand, and he has far more sophisticated tools. You know, his AI is better, wow. So he can make these fake videos.
His AI is so much better now, so he can make these fake videos.
He has done things like spend $10 million trying to buy American influencers.
Pool boy. She's bringing up this old trope.
And get them parroting.
This is great. Oh, she should have just said she got the pool boy and Dave Rubin, and they really changed people's minds.
His lines and not even know it's happening. But he's also got a brand new, very, very powerful tool, which is Elon Musk. And
Elon!
You know, in 2020, the social media companies worked hard with the U.S. government to try to do content moderation, to try to catch this stuff as it was happening. But this time, we have Elon Musk talking directly to the Kremlin and ensuring that the Russians put out something like this, it gets 5 million views on X before anybody can catch it. So,
I mean, it is just sad to see how low she has sunk. She's running with every nonsense thing that's been out. Is she just reading Twitter and going, yeah, I'll talk about this on Rachel's show? I mean, this is not true. I mean, oh, okay, he has better AI for all the, what videos has Putin done? And what impact did the pool boy and Dave Rubin have? What impact? Oh, yes, he's back at it again, the evil Putin. This is just pathetic. Really, it really is pathetic. I don't know what to make of it.
Well, there is Musk. NPR is going after Musk, too. I guess Musk has put out some fake ads that look like Kamala ads that promote basically promote her actual ideas. It's not like they're bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But you can play. I have a clip of it.
Yeah. What do you have? Oh, fake Musk ads?
Yeah, fake Musk
digital ads. Ad campaign backed by billionaire Elon Musk is pushing message.
Elon.
He's Elon.
From now on, the show will call him Elon. I like that this guy is reading the news on NPR and somehow believes that his name is Elon. What is that?
How do you get to that point after all these years of listening about Elon to say Elon? It just befuddles me.
Maybe he was doing the lawn sign story and he's still stuck in it. Elon.
Digital ad campaign backed by billionaire Elon Musk is pushing messages that are intended to look like they're from Vice President Harris.
Elon.
NPR's Bobby Allen explains the ads make false claims about Harris.
A series of political ads appearing on Facebook falsely say Kamala Harris wants to institute a mandatory gun buyback program and make it easier for undocumented immigrants to receive a driver's license. They are from a group called Building America's Future.
Yeah, do you want me to stop the clip so you can complain about that?
I'm just saying, okay, I'm sorry. You're right. But I just want to mention that what Elon has produced here is what she's actually, is part of her policy from the 2019-2020 era. Yes. And there's no evidence that she's changed it.
No, Elon.
A series of political ads appearing on Facebook falsely say Kamala Harris wants to institute a mandatory gun buyback program and make it easier for undocumented immigrants to receive a driver's license. They are from a group called Building America's Future, a pro-Trump outfit funded by Elon Musk. But they look like they're from the Harris campaign. Musk has spent more than $100 million bankrolling a Trump campaign field operation. He appears at Trump rallies, and he's expected to have a role in the White House if Trump is elected. The billionaire has also turned his social media platform X into a powerful pro-Trump machine, where he has been amplifying misleading information about the integrity of the U.S. voting system. The Washington Post recently called Musk a human October surprise.
Well, okay. Please. Meanwhile, the actual ads from the Democrats are interesting. You've seen this one, the guy who's watching porn on his phone and jerking off in his bedroom.
I have not seen. I've heard about that one. The one I've seen the one where the gay guys wink at each other and they vote for Harris, and the two lesbians wink at each other and tell their husbands that they're.
How do you know they're lesbians? They're not lesbians.
You can tell by the way they're looking at each other. They're lesbians.
That ad is about You don't have to vote who your husband tells you to vote for.
No, I know what the ad's supposed to be about, but what I'm seeing when I look at the ad is two lesbians.
You have gaydar now? All of a sudden you have gaydar?
I've always said, I'm in the Bay Area. You have to have gaydar. Otherwise you can get hurt.
All right, so the guy's in his bedroom jerking off.
Oh! Sorry, you can't do that.
What the hell, man? How'd you get in here?
I'm your Republican congressman. Now that we're in charge, we're banning porn nationwide.
You can't tell me what to do. Get out of my bedroom, you creep.
I won the last election, so it's my decision. I'm just going to watch and make sure you don't finish illegally.
Yeah.
Wow. That sounds like one of the, you know, that sounds like a Roger Stone gambit there.
Well, but it's not. I mean, Project 2025.
What idiot would put what moron would put that ad out?
Yeah, some pack.
Well,
There's a porn pack.
The porn pack.
Yeah, there is a porn pack out there who are very worried that Trump will implement Project 2025's vision of making porn illegal, which I'm pretty sure, what's the guy's name? Larry Flint did a very good and, in a way, admirable job of proving that that will not happen. It's free speech, whatever you want. I mean, in general. He was the porn king, and he fought it his whole life.
Well, I have not seen that particular ad.
It's pretty bad.
It's really bad.
It's pretty bad.
Well, he's a Democrat jerking off. What else is new? So,
Hey-o. So you want to hear one of the emails that's going around that family members are sending to each other about what's going to happen during this election?
Oh, this is now, are we returning to the nuttiness of the right?
Well, yeah, but yes, I think we should.
Which is what I love this stuff.
Yeah. So, and this is one of our producers.
This is one where they're going to shut down the grid.
Oh, man. I mean, so this is from someone's aunt, and she sent it to the whole family, although not to, she didn't send it to. She even mentions it here. I forget. I took some of this out because, you know, he said never to email me again. So he's not on the email list. He's never on the email list. So there's always an October surprise during election years, and we are running out of time. Below is the expected schedule of events, although order may not be 100%. Print this now while you're thinking about it. You won't have access once things begin, and you will wish you had it for basic knowledge to lessen the trauma we will all feel. Once things start, everything will move along quickly. Any wars, alien invasion, pandemic, or plague you hear on the news is all a lie. Try to stay positive and calm as possible. Emotional tension will be beyond anything imaginable. As Betty Davis once said in a movie, fasten your seatbelt, is going to be a bumpy ride. The countdown to release the Kraken is underway. Don't think
we're back on the Kraken.
Yeah, didn't think they would play it out this far, but here we are. Oh yeah, Lee and Megan still not copied per Lee's instructions from each and every email him again, leaving it to his family to communicate or not. Anticipated event schedule, and this is a family email. 7 messages before shutdown. Following instructions for having supplies and returning home if traveling. You need to prep with food, water, toilet paper, and other supplies. Have gas for generators. Full tank of gas in each vehicle you own in case you need extra gas for generators if you have any, or for some other use. Do you have a siphon? Wood for wood stoves and fireplaces. Solar generators are the charge. Might lose items in refrigerators, or have other food options. Fill bathtubs with water when the messages start coming in, rather than when power goes out and having buckets for pouring into toilets to use for personal hygiene spit baths. Oh, my God. Once martial law is in place,
wow,
any military seen are not going to be messed with or approached to ask what's going on. There will be a mix of international military and will be a totally different caliber, so do as you are told. They won't be playing nice and will only be here to keep the peace. Make sure people have food and necessities. If they didn't prepare, help if there's a health issue. And to cart people off to FEMA camps who need to be picked up because they participated in crimes against humanity or treason. Do not intervene in anything they're doing, or off you go to the FEMA camps. The FEMA camps will be a rough experience and will appear people are going to be killed.
These people, is this just like a comedy act?
3 days of darkness. No power, no internet. We'll be on our own with only military police about. At some point, there may be a fake nuclear explosion that will seem real and be very scary. 10 to 18 days. Okay, disclosure. 10 to 18 days of lockdown after the 3 days of darkness. Stay where you are. Follow instructions. Riot and looting are expected in some areas of the country. Not much different than the summer of love, the news said was mostly peaceful. Don't get involved. Disorder will be wrapped up quickly. Remain calm. There will be no street lights. Limited power turned on in our homes. Water will be on again, as I understand it, but we'll only have a few plugs working. Oh, Mike, I can't even read all of this.
How do you get a few plugs working?
Here's my best. Satanic sites. Mind-altering or deep underground tunnels that were created to do horrific things to adults and especially children. These are iconic sites to us around the world, but during the disclosure, that's coming, John, the disclosure, you will understand why they were destroyed and you will be happy. Some of these have already been taken care of and there are others, but these are the most iconic. Evacuations have already been done or will be during the air raids and no one will die during the destruction. So these are the following iconic buildings that are connected to underground tunnels for the demonic forces that will be destroyed. The White House, the fake White House in California.
The White House?
The Vatican, the Ark of Baal, Augusta, Germany Castle.
What's the Ark of Baal?
I don't know. The Biltmore Hotel in Coral Gables, Florida. Buckingham Palace, CERN in Switzerland. Oh, it says that one's already done. CIA's Bohemian Grove. Comet Pizza in Hollywood, Denver International Airport, Epstein Island Dome, the Georgia Guidestones, already taken care of, the Hoover Dam, the Louvre in France, London Bank 1 and 2, the London Bridge, the Northern Castle, the Notre Dame Cathedral of France, already done. Wow, I didn't know that
was the London Bridge is in Arizona.
The original one is, yes.
Yeah.
The Opera House in Sydney, Australia, it's going to be gone. The Pentagon, the Playboy Mansion, the Statue of Liberty, Stonehenge, the Tesla Building, the Getty Museum, the Queen's Hunting Lodge, the U.S. Capitol. Now they're just
being silly.
I'm telling you. Not listed, but also taken care of with the recent hurricanes, with the Disney deep underground tunnels and the North Carolina mountain flooding for the secret lithium mining that was going to be used for nefarious purposes. So I could read on and on. I'll put some in the show notes.
Oh, but you got to send me this note.
Yes. I'll send you the, it's an actual email forward with the headers and everything. I'll send that to you. But this is, and I think people like, I hate to say it, but Mike Benz and Dan Bongino, they're riling people up with this, especially Bongino. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. The rioting is coming. It's going to happen. It's going to be like BLM on steroids. You know, even if the left wins, it's crazy. It's kind of sad.
Well, when you start talking about the Sydney Opera House and the Statue of Liberty.
I know.
And the rest of them all being some sort of gateway to hell.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It doesn't really make any sense whatsoever. And the fact that you could get to the point where you actually say these things.
Yeah.
Well, at least it balances out with the other side. So then you get that nuttiness from both sides. But
we do.
This is like
we do.
Really off the deep end.
Yeah, but elements of this I hear around here. Elements of it. And, you know, when it comes from like a Bongino or it comes from, what's the name? Mike Benz. Or it comes from Naomi Wolf, or it comes from Laura Logan. You know, these are the people who were also correct about certain things happening with the pandemic and with vaccines and et cetera. So you can understand
it's
the
kind
people.
Of a stretch. The vaccine thing has an explanation for everything. I mean, it makes logical sense. There's logic involved with vaccine skepticism, especially the mRNA vaccine skepticism. There's nothing illogic about any of the arguments for or against it. but mostly there is some illogic to the arguments for it. But this is nuts.
Since you brought it up, we just talked about it. There is an NHS doctor, and he works for a proper national health system hospital. He's a cancer specialist, James Royal, and he just did a full presentation about what he is seeing with, I think he called post-COVID vaccination patients. And I think I should play it. And this is not to freak anybody out, but it's not good.
Finally, I need to talk about cancer, particularly colorectal cancers. In addition to the increase in all-cause excess deaths in highly vaccinated countries since the gene-based injectable rollout, there has been observed an alarming and significant increase in cancers. These cancers have been termed colloquially turbo cancers. Obviously, this is not a scientific term, but reflects the different aggressive biological nature that seems to be being observed by the public as well as clinicians. Despite recent articles claiming that the sudden growth in cancers is not new, such as the gaslighting article in the Daily Mail reporting on a baffling increase in trend in data from 1990 to 2019, there is a clear dramatic increase that occurred in 2021, shortly after the rollout. A robust study recently published from Japan, now redacted by the journal after significant pressure, showed cancer-related excess mortality in vaccinated populations. Cancers being observed are in all ages. It is my assertion, shared by many expert oncologists and clinical colleagues around the world, that the cancers we are seeing are extremely aggressive and are of a different biology. One study showed this dramatic increase, particularly in younger ages through 2021, 5.6% increase, 2022, 7.9% increase. I've noticed aggressive widespread recurrences in previously successfully treated bowel cancer cases that I considered cured. Many metastases in these cases are unusual or atypical. Middle-aged and elderly people are presenting with out-of-the-blue aggressive stage 4 colorectal cancer who are incurable and die within weeks or months. In many of these cases, the entire liver appears to be filled with large, round tumor masses. It is horrific to see on a weekly basis in my MDT. In my experience, it is rare for colorectal cancer to be as aggressive in elderly. Usually, sporadic cancers that are diagnosed are still operable when they present. Elderly patients rarely present with stage 4 disease, and certainly not in the way I've started seeing. Many of my multidisciplinary team colleagues, fellow surgeons, oncologists, pathologists, radiologists, and specialist nurses, the safety signal from both the MHRA and the VAERS system in the United States is unprecedented and undeniably obvious.
Now, very dry, very boring, but you can look at the show notes, and his whole 30-minute presentation is really mind-blowing. It's not that we haven't suspected this, but here's a guy who's putting his reputation on the line, and he has spoken to many other doctors, and they applaud him, but most of them are scared.
I've had the opportunity to give the presentation to an international surgical meeting in London in March 2023. At the end, I was congratulated on my perceived courage in standing up and speaking about these concerns. There was general agreement in the room, 30 or more surgeons. Many offered acknowledgement and similar observations, but had been unwilling to raise their concerns for fear of repercussions. In fact, a rather alarmed, eminent retired surgeon present stated, "It was our duty to raise these concerns." In conclusion, the data are clear that COVID-19 vaccines are neither effective or safe. My own personal observations have been increasingly backed up by other data around the world and research studies, as well as expert opinion in other centres. I personally demand that these injections and any promotion of them be stopped with immediate effect.
Anyway,
so that's a bunch of people demanding this. It hasn't gone anywhere. And he's specifically talking for the people out there listening to this who got a shot or two. He's talking about people with multiple, I think it's up to 9 shots now. getting the latest and greatest.
And they're recommending 2 shots this season. Two more. CDC just came out. We recommend you get 2 shots this season.
There's also, I don't have a clip, and I wish I could find something. And I think I saw something, and I couldn't recover it. It's hard to say. Where they're saying, the thing, they're going to combine the flu shot and the COVID shot.
Yeah.
Because the flu, nobody's getting the flu anymore.
Gee, I wonder how that works. I'm going to, before we take a break, remember our overall thesis is, and I think we've shown some more possible evidence today with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jean-Pierre Van Damme, sabotaging the Harris campaign with the garbage comment, certainly sabotaging any kind of momentum the Hitler rally had, and just handed a beauty to Trump. There's so many people who benefit from a Trump presidency, and the biggest one, I think, is this pivot to China,
And shipbuilding.
And shipbuilding. Well, also space. Space is also a big one. And
yes, space would be good, so that Lockheed Martin people won't be too upset.
It's China's latest attempt at edging closer to its goal of becoming a space superpower. Its Shenzhou-19 spacecraft blasting off into the cosmos Wednesday, and launch authorities have hailed a triumph.
The spacecraft's solar panels are extended and functioning normally. I hereby announce the Shenzhou-19 manned spacecraft launch mission a complete success.
This will be the Taikonaut's temporary home for the next 6 months, the Tiangong Space Station. It's here that the crew will carry out experiments intended to help China prepare for its most difficult mission yet, landing astronauts on the moon by 2030. Beijing's growing appetite for high-risk missions is increasingly making the United States uncomfortable. In April, NASA's chief warned U.S. lawmakers that Beijing wants to stake territorial claims, arguing its space program is also a military one. Speaking on Monday, China's foreign ministry spokesperson seemed to deny such claims.
China stays committed to the peaceful use of outer space and opposes an arms race in outer space or weaponizing outer space. China has no intention to engage in a race with other countries in space and doesn't seek to gain an edge in space.
Before getting astronauts to the moon, Beijing is celebrating the milestones achieved in Wednesday's launch. Among its crew, the country's only female space engineer. She's also one of the youngest taikonauts from China to blast off into space.
Somebody better land on the moon pretty quick. Otherwise, it's going to look like we never went there. 2040. 2030, 2040, whatever. Impress me. Oh, look, I can parallel park it. All right. But the most, you know me, the most damning evidence that the pivot to China is on was General Milley, who will whore for anybody, was
speaking. He's a whore.
Speaking at the American Bankers Association with most of the big CEOs in the room. Now, if you want to, you know, if you want to talk about money and how we're going to handle China, and how we're going to finance the big, beautiful ships and the submarine bases and everything, you want General Milley to go there. And he didn't have his uniform on, which is a little disappointing. But here's what he had to say about China.
There is the possibility, not the probability, but the possibility of armed conflict between two great powers, United States and China. China has the natural resources, the people, the population, and most importantly, the money to challenge the United States on a global scale. First time in Chinese history, they have now, 45 years later, developed a world-class military. Now, they're not equal yet to the United States military. The United States military is still the most powerful, most effective force in the world. And the Chinese know that. But the Chinese are trying to develop their military to a point where they will be the dominant military in East Asia, Western Pacific, at least by the mid-30s, maybe earlier. President Xi has told his generals to develop the capability. He didn't say he was going to invade, but to develop the capability to invade the island of Taiwan and seize it by 2027, which is right around the corner. Now, that doesn't mean he's
perfect, primed, perfect. We have the economy cycle collapsing in 2026. We need to build it up. What are we going to build it up with? Military industrial complex for the 2027 invasion.
Ability to invade the island of Taiwan and seize it by 2027, which is right around the corner. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to do it. He told his guys to develop the capability to do it. And there's some symbology there because it's the 2027 is the 100th anniversary.
Symbology? Doesn't he mean symbolism? It's symbology.
I think that's accurate.
Symbology?
He told his guys to develop the capability to do it. And there's some symbology there because it's the 2027 is the 100th anniversary of the People's Liberation Army as well.
Oh, there you go.
But by the mid-30s, China's intent is to be the dominant military, diplomatic, economic power in all of Asia. by mid-century, by 2049.
You and I will be dead by then.
It's China's aspiration to be the number one global military diplomatic power, at least co-equal, but preferably superior to the United States in terms of its economic throw weight and its military. Now, will China get there or not? Very much an open question. And that could go in a lot of different directions. China's not 10 feet tall. They have all kinds of internal problems and so on and so forth. But it is worth, you know, paying very close attention to, because they are probably the one country who has the legs and the distance that could literally challenge the United States' position on the global scale.
So the setup is here. The setup, it's primed and ready. Oh, by the way, Russia, you know, they got nukes. It's really China.
Russia clearly is an acute threat, and it's dangerous. They obviously have a lot of nuclear weapons, and they're engaged in active, the biggest ground war in Europe since 1945. But it's really China.
It's really China. It's not Russia, it's China.
Serious challenge to the United States. And it's more complicated. We're living in a multipolar world now. So we've got three great powers, the United States, Russia, and China. During the Cold War, we had two. Immediately following the Cold War, it was a unipolar moment, as people say. So for a short period of time, the United States clearly was preeminent and the only real superpower out there. But today, it's clear we're in a multipolar world, and that's really growing in a lot of different ways. And it's a much more complex world today than it was not too long ago.
China, American Bankers Association, they're going for China. And you know what? It still would not surprise me if Trump is talking to Xi saying, listen, you can rattle the sword a little bit, do your bit, whatever, Taiwan, blah, blah, blah. I need to build me some ships. I need a dome. I need an iron dome. That will be the only saving grace, I think, for our economy, is to have a new threat, which will be China, and then build new gear. What else are we going to do while we're waiting for the tariffs to kick in? Just thinking pragmatically.
Yeah, we make most of our money from building war gear.
War gear. And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courage. Say in the morning to you, the man who put the C in the Off the Cuff podcast. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. John C. DeVore.
Good morning to you, Mr. Adam Curry. Also in the morning, all the ships and sea boots on the ground, feeding the air, subs in the water, all the dames and knights out there.
Hello in the morning to the trolls. Well, of course, we've got 1902. I can remember that means we're 100 above our average.
Yeah, finally
did it. And that's because of garbage. Garbage is good. Garbage is good for business. Wouldn't you say? Garbage is doing good for us.
Seems to be, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, trolls, welcome. Trolls are in the troll room, trollroom.io.
And I do have the Halloween clips for later in the show.
Oh. Woo! I'm so excited. That's great.
Well, it's Halloween, you know.
Yeah.
Do you give candy to the kids that come by? Or no. Do they even bother?
No. Well, first of all, I think the first year we were here, we had some candy, but no one comes by. The kids here from way on the other side of the street, they come by and selling stuff. Hey, I started a new sewing company. You want to buy this? They're entrepreneurs here. They're not out trick-or-treating. We just turned.
You got no trick or that's pathetic.
Oh, no, in town, but we're a little bit out of town. We just turn the lights off and sit here in the dark watching.
You're one of those guys.
Watching Seinfeld.
Turn the lights off, honey, so the kids won't come.
Well, the kids, are they going to walk all the way up to your front door, or you just throw some stuff down at the bottom?
I stay down there and I throw stuff at them, pennies. I feel like John Rockefeller.
have a roll of pennies, kids. Nice.
That's some pennies.
Hey, the trolls are listening at trollroom.io. They're listening live. It's the No Agenda stream. It's quite a phenomenon. It's filled with a whole bunch of off-the-cuff podcasts, but there's quite the community. People love listening, creating themselves. It's a lot of it's live, and if not, we roll out podcasts on schedules. It's really good. Sir Bemrose manages most of that. It's a very, very good job with Cotton Gin, and everyone's got some kooky name. And the trolls troll. And it's true freedom of speech. They do whatever they want to say.
By the way, I do have a good suggestion for people giving out stuff to the kids when they come by.
THC soup. Gummies. Soup.
Soup.
Soup. Have you ever tried that?
I'm thinking about, every kid gets a bowl of soup.
What kind of soup were you thinking?
Kids like chicken noodle. That would be good.
minestrone
if you're in an Italian neighborhood.
Minestrone. Soup. Don't go to that house. That guy's nuts. Have you ever seen his office? No, I hear it's horrible. You can also listen to the podcast and the live stream in a modern podcast app, which is a great way to do it. If you're on if you have Apple Intelligence, I'd say don't use the Apple Podcast app. Get Castomatic from the App Store. It's really good. It's only on iPhones, but it's a fantastic app.
Hey, you told me something in an email that I have to bring up.
Okay.
Apple is doing transcripts of podcasts?
Yes. So podcasting 2.0.
I think that's illegal.
Let me finish with the statement. Podcasting 2.0 created the standard for inserting into your feed a transcript of the episode. And so we use otter.ai. Actually, one of our producers says they have an AI transcript company and they've offered us free transcription. So I'm going to take them up on that offer if they're any good, which probably is. It's No Agenda producer. And so we had those running for a couple of years, and that was kind of a big win for us because Apple now adopted the podcasting 2.0 standard. They put it in their docs, but the way it works with them is if you don't explicitly say, I have my own transcript, they will make their own transcript of your podcast, and they do it for every single one. And you say that is illegal?
They're making a copy. A written copy of copyrighted material. You can't just copy it without permission.
Oh, you make a huge mistake. You can't just put your stuff onto Apple to be available on the Apple Podcast app unless you sign their EULA.
Oh, so the EULA is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They can do whatever they want. That's why we created Podcast Index, because those guys were the default on-ramp, and you had to register and sign their EULA, same as Spotify. Yeah, exactly. Screw them. So, rock against the man. Rock against the power. Get your own transcript that spells John C. Dvorak wrong. That's what we want. Get some humor from the wonky boys over at Podcasting 2.0. And those apps, by the way, have all kinds of things Apple doesn't have. For instance, it updates within 90 seconds of publishing an episode. You don't have to wait hours sometimes it takes with Apple. And you get chapters that they don't have, the cloud chapters. And also when we go live, you get the live stream with a notification when we send out the bat signal. It's a beautiful thing. Now, you've probably also noticed we don't have advertisements. We never have. 17 years in one episode. Now we've never had an advertisement. We've run this value for value. And you're starting to explain it more frequently in the newsletter, I noticed, which I think is good. Explain to people that we put this show out there for free, and we consider it to be valuable. We put a lot of time and effort into it. I'm sorry. It's really just off the cuff. We just kind of sit down and off the cuff. We just kind of
ad-lib the whole show.
Yeah, it's exactly what we do. And all we ask is that you return the value whenever it's convenient to you and whatever amount is convenient to you. For some people, it's more than others, but they may have more money or they may have more time to troll.
They may have more producers.
That's right. And we have the
best producers. Well, that's actually not possible if you think about it.
No one has
more producers. Nobody can have more producers than the No Agenda show.
In fact, we have the podcast.
Thousands and thousands.
We have no listeners. That's the best part about our podcast. We have no listeners. We only have producers. And they deliver time, talent, and treasure. And one example of the time and the talent is our No Agenda artists, many of them Dutch masters. Now, it was our 17th anniversary on the last episode, episode 1707, on the 27th of November. Lots of sevens. We titled it Sweet 17. And it was very hard to find a good piece of art.
It was funny that it was difficult as it was.
Yeah, and Francisco Scaramanga, who was always very complimentary when we choose his artwork, even though you think he hates us, which I just
don't. Oh, he does.
No, he doesn't.
I've heard him. Last time I was on that Mastodon thing, all he did was berate the show and us.
Maybe you should just forgive him. I think you're hanging on to it too much.
No, I'm hanging on to it because it's a good bit.
So Scaramanga brought us the artwork.
And he's producing more.
He is producing more. Scaramanga brought us the artwork for our 17th anniversary, which was not exactly clear what it was, but it was a big block that looked kind of like that. What's that thing that all the Muslims go to?
The cube in Mecca.
Yeah, the Mecca cube with the big 17 on it and little figures running around. There's actually a name for it.
One of our Muslim producers in the chat room will tell us exactly what it's called. Speaking of
Muslim producers, where's Seronymous of Dogpatch and Lower Slobovia? What happened to him?
Well, that's interesting because he hasn't shown up for a while, and I figured, oh, God, this
is worried. I was conflagration. Very worried.
Could be. So I brought it up with Jay and Brennan Rover, and Jay just calmly says, you know, because of all the action going on in the Middle East, she says, you know, he might be working.
Good point, Jay. He just might be working. The Quabba. Quabba? Quaboda? Quabba?
Yeah, the Kuka song. Quaboda. I can't pronounce it.
Quaboda. Quaboda.
He might be working. He might be, you know.
He definitely has an, we don't know exactly what he is or what he does, but we're pretty sure it's something clandestine and we hope he's okay.
Well, he must be. It has to be because he's so, he sends cash.
Yeah.
From, it looks like, you know, fresh hundreds.
And $2
bills. Of
course,
somebody could have just said, hey, wait, why is this pile of hundreds going down?
Yeah. Hey, let me grab that.
What are you doing with this stuff?
Yeah. Maybe it got burned along with the ballots. You never know.
Who knows?
You never know. So we did. But
we haven't heard from him, and you know, it is worrisome. A
couple months. Yeah, I'm always worried. And if it doesn't matter who, I was happy to hear from Sir Chris Wilson again, who did a TED talk recently.
Chris did a TED talk?
Yeah. Oh, you didn't know that?
Or is it TEDx?
No, I'm sorry. It's a TEDx. Let me see. I think I have a piece of it here. Yeah, this is a piece of his TED talk.
What do we do with all this data? We use algorithms that parse this massive catalog of data using deep iteration, or DI.
It's called Redefining Artificial Intelligence.
Now, DI is very good at finding...
Oh, it must be one of your favorite talks.
Yeah. Chris is a funny guy. But anyway, the point being, you know, even Luke Wunderhelm came back on the scene, and he had left, he had rage quit because, you know, we weren't taking Russia seriously enough and Ukraine. And, but he's been listening again, which is nice. So
this is a great show. The fact that people rage quit and refuse to listen.
Yeah.
Now, if they refuse to listen, the only excuse I've ever, well, I was driving a truck for all, you know, and I could listen to the show, the 6 hours a show a week. But now I'm at home, or I've got a different job, or I work in the office. I got no commute. I don't, you know, if you have habituated to listening on a commute. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But, and by the way, garbage guys, I'll just call them garbage guys, love us. My garbage guy here. And tell me you get this service. So Sunday night, I was really tired after the show, and, you know, and just, we went to bed early, and then 9 o'clock on Monday, Tina says, did you take the garbage? I'm like, oh, I completely forgot. I text the guy. He's like, no problem. We'll come back in an hour. I mean, that's pretty cool.
You have your garbage guy, your sanitation engineers,
text message,
phone number.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And I don't think he even knows about the show or anything.
But tell him to listen to the show. He might like it.
He probably would. Everybody here likes the show. Hey, man, I was in a 12-foot hole the other day drinking it. Seriously, I heard this last night.
12-foot hole.
I was in a 12-foot hole for a septic system. I was talking to Eric, and Eric says he mows your lawn. Everybody knows everybody around here. It's great.
Yeah, around here is not the same.
No, no. You don't even know your neighbors. Nor would
I know
you
all
want
my neighbors. Don't kid yourself.
You don't want to talk to them.
We're suing one of them.
Wait, stop the press. What are you suing? By the way, neighbor disputes can get ugly. What is happening?
Oh, it's a long story. It's been going on for a couple of years, and it's costing a lot of lawyer money, but you should be able to
explain?
No, I'm not going to talk about it.
Is it about a fence?
Well, if there is a fence involved, but it's not specifically about the fence.
Wow, you're like the Osbournes. Oh, man. You're one of those neighbors, huh? Or you're the good
No,
guy.
We're not one of those neighbors. The other neighbor's the one impinging.
Oh, they're impinging on your turf.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Anyway, thank you for the other tries. I like the Carter 17 trips around the sun. What was that? What was that sound? Odd sound. Came
what?
Through. No, I heard some kind of odd sound. I don't know where it came from. Let's see. What else?
You got a home invasion taking
place. Yeah, I guess so. I'm trying to think, was there anything else that we liked at all? I'm not sure.
No. Actually.
There you go.
It was a paltry selection. There wasn't even a cake, birthday cake with a 17 on it. I mean, there's simple stuff wasn't
that
even
would have won. A simple birthday cake would have won.
I think it would have too. Yeah.
And it yeah.
Because I thought the cube was basically lame.
And you were like, wow, look at Nestwerk 777 on the jackpot. I was like, what does that have to do with 17 years?
Yeah, the 77. Yeah, I like the piece. And then you mentioned, what's the 777 got to do with 17? If it was all 17s, it'd have been funny.
Yeah.
No, they were not. This is, you attributed this to the fallback on AI as kind of actually, I was listening to, there's a show they have locally about, what do you think about this call? It's got some lame name. It's just a filler show on KTVU. And they were talking about people who use their GPS to go to the store and to drive home. They always, so the route home, which you've gone to a million times, you still have your GPS on showing you to take a left, take a right. And everybody said yes to this. And I've noticed that everybody in the family uses GPS. It's on all the time. I stopped, because I don't have a phone anymore, but I stopped using it some years ago, the GPS, because I want to find my way around.
Yeah, keep sharp.
I want to be able to literally find my way around without having to Google tell me, take a left, take a right, because you start to lose your sense of things when you push. And that's what's happening with the AI art.
Yes, that's exactly it. You're right. It's filled up with slop. Most of it is meh, okay, uninteresting. And I think the true artists go like, oh, well, look at all that. That's better than that. And they give up. They give up. It's the saddest thing. AI is ruining the show. Did you see Apple's Apple Intelligence release?
I've seen a lot of their ads where the phones are flying to the store, but.
Do you want it? Do you want to hear?
Actually came out with something, because it's all been vaporware as far as I can tell.
Would you like to hear the report from KTLA's technology reporter about the Apple AI?
Of course I would. Let's do it.
Here we go.
Apple Intelligence is here. To learn more about it, I went to the Apple Store, where they're doing pop-up demos as part of their Today at Apple session.
Please sit. Please get comfortable. And welcome to say hello to Apple Intelligence.
Jamira Austin is my guide.
It's really the best part about Apple Intelligence is how intuitive and easy to use it is.
Not all the features are available just yet, but you'll get new writing tools.
Just select what you want and then immediately rewrite it.
I love it. So you don't have to hop between apps to do this. It's all right there.
Yes, which is the best part. No third-party apps, no moving around.
These let you highlight text and rewrite it in different styles. It works anywhere there's a blinking cursor. Emails have a new summarize button at the top, and AI can help you reply, automatically suggesting responses to any questions in an email.
By prioritizing and saving time, that's really what Apple Intelligence is all about.
The Photos app has a new cleanup tool, which lets you remove unwanted people or objects from your photos. Siri is also getting smarter.
Set a timer for 17 minutes, 6 minutes.
The voice assistant will better understand your requests, even if you stumble. And there's a new way to type to Siri.
Oh, wow, that's new. Double tap the bottom of your screen, pops up a Siri Ask Siri.
What should we ask?
Apple's AI has a colorful glow and whimsical animations. Woo! And Apple says it's doing all of this in a way that protects the privacy of your data.
It's been designed with privacy from the ground up. So from the moment that you open your device to any time you use an app, those privacy implications are built right in.
There you go.
That's a terrible report. Oh, it sets a timer? What is that new?
No, he stumbled. He said, set a timer for 6 minutes. And Apple was so smart, it figured it out instead of him just like setting the timer. It's nonsense. It's lame. And so instead of fixing your email, like, you know, your spam, it does summaries. It does summaries of your text. So text messages, if they weren't short enough, it summarizes text messages in the preview.
Text messages are always short.
Well, it's iMessage, man. So someone sent me a screenshot. His mom had texted him, "That hike almost killed me."
Oh, yeah, this is a classic. This is going around.
Yeah, and you saw the summary was, "Attempted suicide, but recovered and hiked in Redlands and Palm Springs."
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's worth $150 billion investment. It's great. I think it's well worth it.
It's subject to ridicule is what we're going to see here. And that's all it's going to be good for is ridicule.
A Polish radio station, they had announced 2 weeks ago, we're shutting it down when we're creating all AI personalities. We're firing all the staff. And the listeners revolted. they had to go, "Oh, no, we're hiring back now." Which I think is probably a good thing. Anyway, let's get to the treasure portion of, noagendaartgenerator.com. We kind of strayed away from that. You can listen to that in real time, refresh it in real time. You can participate. That's the beauty of it. You know, it doesn't have to be AI. It could be, sometimes we've taken just a scribble that was photocopied. Can be anything. As long as you've got the right creativity in there, we'll recognize it. We recognize genius here, especially from Dutch masters. NoAgendaArtGenerator.com. And by the way, it's not just for the art for the show. Dreb Scott uses many of those images for chapter artwork, which is a delight when you're driving along with a modern podcast app. Now for the treasure portion, we'd like to thank our executive and associate executive producers. Again, we have no listeners, only producers. Just like Hollywood, when you come in with more money, because you can afford it, I'll be honest about it, that's how it usually works in Hollywood too, we'll give you a special mention and a credit. Just like Hollywood, these are valid anywhere that credits are recognized, including IMDb.com, which, you know, go ahead, take a look. All the Hollywood stars are there, all the big producers. You can be there now as well. Over 1,000 No Agenda producers are listed. $200 and above, you become an associate executive producer with that forever lifetime credit, and we'll read your note. $300 and above, $300 and above, and you become an executive producer, and we read your note. Are you okay? What are you doing? Did you fall down?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was looking out the window since an Amazon Prime truck just drove up.
Boy, you make a lot of noise when you look out the window. And we kick it off, starting with our top executive producer who comes in with $1,030.26, which I'm thinking is because he added the fees. So it's an Insta something. Well, actually, he says, slipping in under the wire, just like most of my college classes. And a Commodore as a bonus? No brainer. How exactly do I sign correspondence now? Says Sir Who Dat of the Hall of Fame City, PhD, and soon to be Commodore. How do you sign your correspondence if you're a Commodore?
I don't know.
But you should have an answer for this.
Well, I know I should. Maybe you just put Commodore down there. Put a comma at the end of your name, put Commodore.
All right.
That would work.
All right, all right. Thank you very much, Sir
Hudet. I mean, it's not a question that's come up.
Thank you very much, Sir Hudet.
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 He must be in New Orleans.
Hudet.
That's my guess.
Hudet.
Yeah, Hudet. That's what this is. It used to be a phrase they used in one of the football teams. Hudet.
Hudet.
I think it was the Saints, or they used to be called the Aints until they won the Super Bowl. Okay.
Some sports ball humor on the show. Wow.
Sir Artless Chance. Yeah, I know. It's going to go over like a lead brick. Sir Artless Chance in... Oh, this is our Portugal.
Yes, I noticed that. Yeah,
in Porto, the home of Port, yes. Which is the fine... For some reason, I don't know. I have no idea why this happened. I pushed a button and it scrolled to the bottom. There we go. Switcheroo, he writes. After 33 years in Hong Kong, my Chinese wife and I, a German retrobate, have settled in Portugal.
Yeah, they must but be the criminals. Tentacles...
What?
They must be criminals. That's where all the criminals go. Yes.
No.
Criminals go to Portugal.
Everybody in Great Britain goes there if they can retire.
Yeah.
But the tentacles of the EU have this beautiful country in a tight embrace, and the Portuguese largely do not see this as a problem. Huh.
What are you doing, man?
As citizens of the world, we would like all of us, to come together. You and John have done a stellar job in the past 17 years. Hopefully the nucleus that you've created will continue to thrive. But as any good fathers know, late adolescence is still far from independence. 17.
That's right.
So please give us four more years. Sir Artless Chance, please knight me, knight my wife as Dame Velocity 432.
You consider it done. He
came in with $1,000.
Surveillance from Brentwood, Tennessee, $500.52. Greetings from Surveillance, retired AWAC spook and proud dad. We got spooks. I'm donating $500.52 in a switcheroo for my No Agenda fan and B-52 pilot Kim, that's his daughter, to make her the highest ranking bomber pilot in the U.S. Air Force as a Commodore. FYI, it's not uncommon for these guys to fly 24 hours plus missions in one go, projecting our might. Thanks for keeping her brain free, which she handles the part of the freedom for the rest of us. While she handles that part of the freedom. Well, thank you. We appreciate Kim, and she will receive the Commodore ship. Beautiful.
You know, he had I have to go find it. We can do this later. He has a quiz for you because you're the aviator.
Mm.
And he wanted me to pull a quiz on you that he figured you can't get right if you tried.
Oh, well, that's fun.
Yeah. And I got to go find
and you
email.
Promptly forgot to bring it to the party.
I remembered it. But then at the same time, I said, well, I can find this. It's on the email.
You're falling apart, man. You're falling apart. So is your
mic. I'm falling apart.
Your studio's falling apart. Everything's falling apart.
Studio's not falling apart. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm looking for the email, and I forgot that there's a guy listed here. And this will be Martin Graff in Granville, Ohio. And he came in with 500. I guess he wants a Commodore ship. Belatedly, and we're still giving him out, and so, but he didn't put a note, so it's no jingles, no karma, no nothing, and he gets a double up karma.
You've got double up karma.
Then we move to Kirk Crawford in Lomita, California, $500. He says, I have been listening since the Daily Source Code days, and then on to No Agenda Show. You've been a great help in understanding how the world works over these many years. This donation is just the beginning of what I want to contribute for all the value you have given me. You see how this value for value thing works? It really does work. I love it. It's fantastic. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. The Commodore title will be Commodore Kirk of the South Bay. And, of course, you will go to noagendarings.com. You give us your information, what you want on your Commodore certificate, and we will get that off to you as soon as possible. Jingle request, Obama, no, 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 and anything from Al Sharpton. Thank you for your courage.
I've been watching you.
No, 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 no. Come on, where was I? No, 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 no. Hey, listen, I love you back.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
So now we go to Sir Carey's in Draket. Draket. I forget, you know, I don't know how do you pronounce that in Massachusetts.
Draket.
And he's got $500 in there, and he says, thanks for all you do. Sir Carey's.
Beautiful. Matt Asbury in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. Wauwatosa, $500. And he has all caps. And so, my fellow slaves, ask not what jingles Adam can play for you. Ask what value you can provide to the best podcast in the universe. Well stated, future Commodore Smelt from the Lake Michigan Carrier Group. Thank you very much.
So I found the quiz if you want to try it.
Let's go. Go for quiz. Go for quiz. You go for quiz.
It's called, he wants it as an ask him. He says, aviation trivia on the B-52. Now, don't look this up.
I know this? Okay.
But yeah, you can take a guess. How far back from the nose is the nose gear wheel on a B-52? 23 feet, 31 feet, or 38 feet?
Again, could you use it in a sentence? How far back is the nose? Say again.
How far back is the nose gear on a B-52? 23 feet, 31 feet, or 38 feet?
I'll say 23 feet.
Answer, the B-52 is the only plane with no nose gear.
It was a trick question. That was great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Kind of hard to resist.
Yeah, I understand.
So where are we? We're at, what is this?
Quint Newell. Yeah.
Quint Newell, and he's in Olympia, Washington, $500. Dude, it's been too long. Appreciate the extension for us lazy asses. Extension for Commodores. That's called a grace period. Would be on, I will continue it until these crap out.
Yeah.
Will be honored and love to add a Commodore to my no agenda diploma. Commodore Q, if you will. By the way, everyone should go to noagendarings.com and fill out the Commodore details.
Yes.
Speaking of lazy asses, I reached knight status a while back, so please knight me too while you're at it. Sir Sigma.
All right.
No jingles, no karma.
Bowman McMahon. He's from San Antonio, Texas, $500. He says, donate jingle, please. Thanks, y'all. Wow.
Sir Nick is up, and he's the dragon of the four domains in Waterford, Michigan. Okay, that's what he is. Since the link is still open, I'm hoping this takes me to a Commodore and a Baron. So if possible, I'd like a title change to Sir Nick, Dragon and Purveyor of the Blarg. Or at least I hope it does, considering my accounting sheet is enclosed. If Michigan is open or abandoned, I will take that. Otherwise, I will default to my land of ancestry, the Philippines. Please give me a por la mañana. John's going to hum the Sunday Times. Oh, and this is an old one.
Classic.
And some relationship single millennial karma. If those are still there. Yeah, and I think I think Adam's got everything. He's unbelievable.
I got it, man.
Thank you for the twice weekly analysis he writes.
John's gonna hum the Sunday time.
You've got karma.
Classic Kevin Reeves. Love that one. Dame Bang Bang comes in from Buellton, California with 500, and she is, she's becoming a Viscountess. I have a note here, and she says, where's Bang Bang? Here she is. ITM, JCD, and Adam, happy show anniversary month, 17 years, and you never had a fight. I wanted to join the Commodore ranks before it was too late. Upon looking at my donation accounting, I realized that I was just another $38.32 shy of becoming a Viscountess, accounting below. I'm enclosing two checks, one to obtain the title of Commodore and the second to make me Dame Bang Bang, Viscountess of the native Chumash Territory, which is the land of my ancestors. Mapping closed. I am also enclosing some memorabilia.
Yes, there is.
I see the map.
She actually sent a map.
I'm disappointed that the map was not enclosed for me on the scan. I'm also enclosing some memorabilia for John.
It's an interesting area, by the way. It's south of Mission San Luis Obispo, which is a cool place to go. Because when I went there was still wild chickens all over the place, all the way down to Mission San Buenaventura in the Santa Barbara Channel. It's kind of a cool area.
Fascinating information. I'm enclosing some memorabilia for John's archives from the RFK Jr. presidential campaign, which I worked on, that includes a couple pins that were not sold to the general public. Oh, and are they nice? These are nice pins?
I think so.
Okay. Well, you like stuff like that. That is.
Yeah. Because I need more junk to collect.
Yes. For the kids to clean up when you're gone.
What is this crap? It could be worth thousands of dollars.
Believe me. Whenever someone sends me something, say it's going in the box for my daughter to deal with when I'm dead. You know it's going to be exactly
the kids
like.
Just throw this stuff out. They never take it to an auction site.
What are these coins?
What are these gold coins?
No, not that. What's this one with CIA and Space Force? Oh, these I got CIA. What are these coins?
Yes, I have four different CIA challenge coins.
Although I have to say, I don't know if you received yours yet. Black Dame Loca from Texas Hot Glass sent me a glass sword.
Yes.
That is a beautiful piece of work.
I think there's a donation in here from her, and she sent us, I think she sent in 100 with the sword.
Oh, we'll mention it then, yes.
And she has a website, which I'll try to...
Texas Hot Glass.
And she makes the most amazing... If you're a dope smoker...
She's big on the bongs.
She makes bongs that are just out of this world. I mean, I should probably turn Scott Adams onto her.
Yes, there you go. There you go.
Scott Adams is a big bong fan.
But the sword is it's outrageous. How do you even make that? Does she have a mold or something for that? How do you do that?
Well, the way Jay looked at it too, if you look at it, it's a glass tube. You can see it, the handle is the part of the glass tube. So she heats up the whole glass tube and then has a stamp that goes at the end of it to make the sword. It's a pretty phenomenal product.
I would love to shiv somebody with that thing. That must be cool. Imagine how cool the blood looks on that glass blade. Isn't it fantastic? And it's sharp. Sharp. Amazing. Anyway, please send me some jobs, Karma, says Dame Bang Bang, as I'm looking for my next opportunity. Thank you for all you do in these crazy times.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs. You've got Karma.
We have the best producers. We really do.
A lot of creative people, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Dame Tamos comes in for $500. She's a parts unknown. I don't have anything where she's from. I can't tell. Send a nice card. It's a real card. And you can tell because when you snap it, it makes noise. ITM, please credit this Commodore ship to my amazing husband, Dave McLean. Thanks for all the insight. 4 more years. And she said she heard the call for Post-its. And so she sent me a little pile of Post-it notes. And once that she does want a jingle, it looks like they're eating the dogs.
Anything? I also see here on that she wants business karma for Dave McLean as he expands his engine building business into grinding cams.
Yeah, that came in, I guess, as an email because it's not on the note here.
All right. Well, I'm going to do that.
They're eating the dogs.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You got it.
Hey, and there's Doug Longenecker, who does end of show mixes and lives in Georgetown, Texas, right outside of Austin, 400. I'm decidedly certain this puts me into Sir Coveted category. Knight me Sir Doug of the Watchers over the mail-in and possibly hacked ballots, he says. I want McCamala and Jeff Beccaro to serve me a double mac and fries and mead at the drive-thru. Done. My brothers Brian and Brad are douchable for not beating me to sir status.
Douchebag.
That's for Brian and
douchebag.
That's for Brad. Lame, since they turned me on to the show. Thank you, Sir Doug. yes, Sir Doug of the Watchers coming up.
Ed Lyon in Downington, Pennsylvania. He has a note. He wrote in as a check. You can tell when you snap it, it makes noise. 33342. No jingles, no karma, no need to read anything on the air, but I will anyway. All I request is that you please put Nathan Lyon on the birthday list as close to October 30th as possible. I think we can't get much closer than this a day later. I think we put him in the last. Jay puts it. I'll put him on again. Please wish him an 11th birthday from his dad, who thinks he's an amazing kid. Lyon is pronounced just like the big cat. The kid. Yeah, Lyon. Huh? Ed Lyon. I'm Ed Lyon.
I'm Ed Lyon. Yes.
Thank you for all you do. 4 more years, etc.
Hey, there's Dame Master and Sir Mark, the Archduchess and Archduke of Japan and all the disputed islands in the Japan Sea. And they see $333.33. Dear John Adam, many congratulations on 17 years of no agenda. You give us such a buzz that we are hooked on it and cannot imagine being without it. We know 4 more years is going to be tough work, but hopefully the thought of how many lives you are constantly changing will keep you going. Oh, I'm sure hardcore no agenda listeners will keep donating too. Well, you certainly have for a long time, and we love you for it. Much love to you both, the back office, no agenda family, and to all the producers from Day Master and Sir Mark. Thank you. Beautiful. Good to hear from you guys in Japan.
So we go to Ryan Tiernan in North Providence.
What happened to Gordon Gibson in Kerrville?
Ah, good. I want to read the note. It's a long note. Gordon Gibson in Kerrville, Texas, 33333. Nothing there. No note, no nothing. Just a check for 333.33. And that is, I think that came in from the meetup that you guys had. So he had no note.
Oh.
So he gets a double up karma.
He sure does.
You've got karma.
Well, I don't know what long note you're talking about, but Ryan Tiernan is in North Providence, Rhode Island, 33333, and he will become a knight, I believe. Let me see. He also sent in a note. Let me see. Yes, here it is. ITM, John and Adam, after completing my layaway night program, helping to produce show 1542, and with this later producer donation of 333.33, I'd like to officially lay my claim to my knighthood status. From this point forward, I request to be known as Sir Dibs on Living, Recreations Director of the Chateau Diff. Diff, he says, as you pronounce it, Diff. D'IF. No jingles, but I would like a karma switcheroo. Undoubtedly, the No Agenda Nation has benefited from your sharp and insightful media deconstruction, and I think they would also benefit from checking out a burgeoning musical talent, Akira the Don, A-K-I-R-A, setting philosophers, entertainers, and scholars to phenomenal tracks, including Joe Rogan, Alan Watts, Charles Bukowski, and David Foster Wallace, to name a few. If there was a round much more of personally impactful people I have never met, Crackpot, Buzzkill, and Akira the Don would be on it. Thank you for your courage. P.S. I'd also like to formally enter the No Agenda handwriting contest. See the attached note, and please send my Bitcoin prize money to the address on file. That's a very interesting handwriting. Very nice. Very pretty. That's for sure. So, karma switcheroo for Akira the Don.
You've got karma.
Sir Spooky's Halloween meetup in Western Springs, Illinois. Switcheroo for Sir Brian with a Y. The winner of the Sir Spooky's Halloween meetup raffle. Happy Halloween to the best podcast in the universe. Jingle, Obama, you might die. Sucking in soot. And JCD scary donate.
You might not.
Sucking in soot.
Donate.
Two in a show. How about that? Oh, here's the long note. Yes, I do get it. From Kanata, Ontario, Canada, 333, Olivia Dwyer. And she says, Dear John and Adam, this Commodore thing really worked. I've been listening for 9.5 years. I've always wanted to donate, but dedicating our lives to an endeavor that is not valued in this upside down world meant that for years, my husband and I used a cardboard box a cardboard apple box as a fridge, and the bottom of a cardboard washing machine box as a kitchen table, and no internet for more than 7 years. Not a joke! So not much spare cash to go around. Not complaining, it has felt rather like permanent camping. Then I hear about your Commodore promotion, and for the goodness knows what reason, I become obsessed with wanting to be one. Then, bam! I suddenly have the dollary dues to do so. A miracle. This is beautiful. Finally able to give you both back a tiny fraction of your true value to me. This is the kind, maybe a long note. I don't care. This is beautiful. 9.5 years, never had money to donate. Get some money, donates it to the show. John, thanks for responding to my plea and allowing the now 509 Australian dollar reduced conversion to your $333 plus the extra few days for other Australians to get their Commodore ship in. May you be inundated. Please let me not be the only Australian on the podium. Please play Trump, they're eating the dogs, followed by I love cows. Oh, boy. P.S. I hope this doesn't hurt the case to say this, given you two's attitude towards him, but I'm saying it anyway. I have been a fan of that genius Francisco Scaramanga since his first days and could not understand why it took so long for you to notice his art. Many a time back then did I shake my fist at you two for not choosing his work or even mentioning it. Have to say, though, that I'm not crazy about the recentish turn the cheesecake has taken. Ah, she has a little bit of critique. Just my 2 cents worth, and my husband's too. By the way, he's a genuine biological male. Well, good. Love you both lots. Happy to hear that. Soon to be Commodore Olivia Arendt of the Simulacrum and all over Australia. Whoo! Okay.
They're eating the dogs.
I love cows.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, thanks, Olivia. That's great. I'll do this one.
Okay.
Because I'm drinking it today. Eli, the coffee guy.
Yeah, you're drinking too much, I might say.
What do you mean? It's been a great show. In Bensonville, Illinois, $210.31, associate executive producership. And Eli says, and he's always, every week he comes in with an associate executive producer. With less than a week left in this phase of election season, all of us in Gitmo Nation can agree on one thing, regardless of political affiliation. Campaign ads are annoying. No matter the outcome, at least we won't be subjected to them for another few years. In Chicago, they have a saying, vote early and vote often. So, visit gigawattcoffeeroasters.com and elect to drink good coffee today. Don't forget to use the code ITM20 for 20% off your order. Stay caffeinated and happy Halloween, says Eli the coffee guy. I am drinking his dark roast right now from... forget what that was from. It was very dark. It was a specialty. It was like sand. I forget what it's from. It's good. He always sends me the good stuff. Thank you.
You don't have to pee. Yeah. Linda Lupakian's up. She's in Lakewood, Colorado. She's her last associate executive producer. And of course, she's asking for jobs, Karma, which she does consistently. For a resume, she writes that gets results, go to imagemakersinc.com. For all your executive resume and job search needs, that's imagemakersinc.com. With a K. Or find Linda Lou, Duchess of Jobs and writer of resumes on the producer list.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs. You've got karma.
All right, noagendadonations.com is where you can go to send your value back. Time, talent, treasure, we accept it all. We appreciate all that everybody has done and continues to do in our 17th year. Is this now our 17th year or 18th year? I can't remember.
We're into our
18th year. Noagendadonations.com. We'll be thanking more producers, $50 and above. And as always, anybody can set up a recurring donation. You go to noagendadonations.com. You can set it up, frequency, the amount. As you can tell, you too can eventually become a knight or a dame. It's very easy and it's fun to do. And you support the show. Again, congrats to our execs and associate executive producers.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Shut up, Slade. Hey, I just wanted to mention one thing about CrowdStrike. You know, remember David Boyce was suing CrowdStrike, and then Delta was going to sue CrowdStrike. Do you remember any of this? For that?
Oh, yeah.
We remember that all of a sudden there was this very odd update that happened. So Rob, the constitutional lawyer, has put this this latest complaint, I think this is from Delta, into the show notes with his markups. Listen to this. CrowdStrike forced untested and faulty updates to its customers. Even if you did not have automatic updates enabled, as Delta did not. How about
That's there you go. There's your lawsuit waiting to happen.
They're dead in the water. Delta estimates that it suffered over $500 million in out-of-pocket losses from the faulty update, in addition to future revenue and severe harm in reputation and goodwill. Yeah. You know, you might as well say, our CEO even started wearing dresses. You should throw that in there and then maybe get some money for that. If CrowdStrike had tested the faulty update on even one computer before deployment, the computer would have crashed. CrowdStrike intentionally created and exploited an unauthorized door within the Microsoft OS through CrowdStrike's Falcon software. This is very damning.
That is not good.
So even if you had automatic updates disabled,
turned off,
they still, so that tells
they forced
me,
it.
And remember, this came right after the Republican convention.
Well, there's something like that's going to happen apparently in a couple of days when the grid goes down.
You better fill up your bathtub.
And all hell breaks loose.
You better fill up your bathtub.
Fill up your tank.
It's happening, people. It's happening. We're getting there.
I have a couple horror stories. I got a horror for horror. Halloween.
Halloween. Okay.
Halloween horror. Here's play this clip. Jaywalking.
And a common practice has become the law of the land in New York City. Jaywalking is now legal.
What?
The city council passed a bill last month allowing pedestrians to cross the street at will. It became law over the weekend after time ran out for Mayor Eric Adams to veto the measure. Jaywalking used to carry a fine of up to $250. And by one count, more than 90% of those targeted last year were Black and Latino. There are concerns that the new measure will lead to more pedestrian deaths, but for many New Yorkers, it's simply an acknowledgement of life in the busy city.
Oh, that's horrible.
And not only that, if you think about the way this report's structured, it's going to be Blacks and Latinos that are killed.
You know, it screws up traffic. I used to drive into Manhattan every single day for 12 years. And when people just cry, so I was that a-hole with the Jersey license plates. If I had the green light and you're starting to cross, I'm like, I'm hanging on the horn. Like, no, because you're crossing illegally. It screws up traffic. This is really stupid. Sounds like a technicality. But oh boy, is this part of liberal New York?
I guess.
This is dumb. This is dumb. Bad idea, Adams. I was just starting to like him, too. The mayor! We need the mayor!
He's probably busy doing something else.
With Onimus.
Maybe.
Maybe it's the same guy.
So here's my report. You can take it or leave it. But it's good to get to the WTF clip. This is the disgusting body traders.
You've been hanging on to this for 3 shows.
I love this clip.
Okay. We're doing number one?
Yeah.
Last June, the morgue manager at Harvard Medical School was arrested on charges of stealing and trafficking in human remains that had been donated to science. His arrest unraveled a nationwide network of bodies traders. Member station WBUR dug into this case and ended up exploring the world of legal remains trading in the podcast Last Seen Postmortem. Here's an excerpt with host Ali Jarmani. And a warning, this segment contains descriptions of human remains.
Nice.
I actually couldn't believe how easy it was to find human remains collectors to talk to. I logged onto Facebook and searched, well, skulls, and I found a bunch of Facebook groups specializing in the oddities trade. I joined a public group called Real Human Skulls Only, No Scammer. Despite the name, there are a lot of scammers in this group. People post stolen photos and try to get some cash. Some of these posts, it looks like they dug up a grave and snapped a photo of the bones to sell. The skulls are cracked and look dirty. They don't have any hardware that a medical specimen would have. There are also more legit listings, too.
So, like, this one says, vintage medical-grade partial human noggin, $450 plus, and then a picture of a little ship, so plus shipping.
Some of the listings spell human, H-O-O-M-A-N, to avoid getting flagged. And instead of using numbers to list the price, they include emojis of the figures. I joined another group, this one called the Serious Wet Specimen Collectors, Buyers and Sellers Group. This page is filled with jars of preserved organs, animals, reptiles. There are dead puppies and kittens in jars, a ball python with no eyes in a jar, a 6-inch sea slug in a jar.
Now, this may surprise you, but this jogged something in my memory. When I was 12, 13, I think, and I bought it off of somebody. I don't remember. I had a human skull.
You had a skull. They're worth $450.
I know. I had a skull. Now, the jawbone that they gave that I bought with it clearly wasn't the right jawbone. It didn't quite fit in right. But I put little red LED lights in the eye sockets. So at night, you know, I could turn it on in my room. I had a skull with red eyes.
Wow, you could have easily become a goth.
Easily. I was ska for sure, but goth was not my thing. So back then, but you know, people were like, hey, that's cool. It wasn't seen as gruesome, I recall. It's like, I just had a skull. It was kind of a small head. Maybe it was a young person.
Well, as we go into the collector's world, which she goes into next, they don't think it's gruesome either.
There are human specimens, too.
Human wet specimen of a child's tongue, windpipe, heart, and lungs who passed away tragically from choking on a marble.
Bull. This is bull crap.
All my clicking around leads me to a page for something called the ossuary. The description says, we ensure a safe home and dignified transition for prior medical specimens and cremains. I reach out to the couple that runs it, Justin Capps and Sonia Cobb, and they are more than happy for me to come visit them at their home in Smyrna, Delaware. Justin and Sonia don't have any connection to the thefts at Harvard, but I want to talk to them and those like them because they're part of the demand for human remains. And that demand causes people like Cedric Lodge to allegedly find the supply. So I want to understand why they do this and how. It's dark when I arrive. I'm meeting Justin and Sonia at dinner time. They're night shifters. Sonia works in long-term care as a nurse. Justin is an ordained minister, and he keeps Sonia's hours. So I'm catching them at the beginning of their day. Their neighborhood of newish single-family homes and duplexes is tucked away off a busy road. I spot their house.
His car's license plate says Skulls.
Other than the license plate, the house looks pretty typical in this little subdivision until I step inside.
Wow. Welcome to our humble home. Right away. You can't miss it.
My eyes immediately drift under the TV where a skeleton rests on its back in a glass box glowing under black light. Across the room next to the overstuffed leather couch, another skeleton hangs in an upright coffin. A spinal column lamp sits on a table.
This is a podcast that you've chopped up into bits.
I didn't chop up this into anything.
Where did this come from?
NPR.
Oh, as I said, it's a podcast.
NPR. Well, they said it, they introduced it as a podcast, if you remember from the first clip.
No, I can't remember. I'm so distracted by this narration.
Well, that's because she thinks she's doing... What was the one that started this serial?
Yeah, I know.
Where they're walking around and describing what they're doing.
Why don't you just say, people, go subscribe to this podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
No, she said this was from a podcast. This is, we're listening to a podcast that was edited by somebody, but not by me.
All right.
Is that the end of that part?
Yes. Oh, there's two more
then
clips.
Continue
with
the podcast.
Oh, it's amazing. Amazing. It's riveting.
I haven't even turned to my left and my right yet, where two pairs of skeletons flank the front hall. This is not really a living room anymore. It's been turned over to the skeletons.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Standing here, I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 full skeletons.
My coffin table.
Oh, wow. Justin lifts the lid of the coffin table to reveal the 7th skeleton in the room.
So this was an antique coffin.
1860s.
That we sent to the Smyrna prison because they have a wood shop department, and they redid this and put the legs on it and made it into a coffin table for us.
And this was the coffin that the skeleton came in?
Yep. Yeah, it was stored in this.
Yes, that was the deal with the coffin or the skeletons when they came. They were all stored in antique coffins, and they all had to go. With antique coffins. So when they all
Justin and Sonia don't have all these remains as a gag or so they can live in some kind of haunted house. And they don't see themselves as collectors at all.
Saying that we collect remains, even though we collect in the sense that we gather, and not that we collect because we're morbidly, you know, want to have a house full of bones. I didn't wake up and go, oh, you know what? I think bones are something I want to play with. This was something I was called to do. People rescue puppies and kittens, and we rescue medical specimens. These items, people, they were lost to time.
Please tell me that the last clip ends with them doing some weird sex stuff around the bones.
You know, the thing is,
please,
these are hoarders.
Yes. Of bones.
Collectors or classic collectors in denial. As an archivist, I can tell you the background on this. They're hoarders in denial, and they think this is normal. And I can't imagine ever getting anyone to come over for dinner, for example.
No, who needs dinner guests when you can have NPR show up at your house?
Well, they were welcomed because nobody else ever would go there. But let's listen to the WTF part of this. This is clip 4.
This journey all started with Tyler.
Yeah, he's a geriatric skull. He has one tooth.
Oh, yeah, one little molar.
I fell in love with him. He was geriatric. I worked in hospice. It was perfect.
They found Tyler in an oddity shop they often visited. He wasn't for sale. He was just decoration.
He was smiling at me. I don't know what it was.
He looks happy, doesn't he?
He looked happy.
When COVID hit and the store closed, Justin wanted to help out the owner and offered a loan of $1,200. He took Tyler as collateral. The owner never paid back the loan, and Tyler sparked something for Justin and Sonia.
They got Tyler for me, and then I said I needed a whole skeleton for the corner.
From there, Justin got to work, looking for how to get Sonia her skeleton. Websites like Skulls Unlimited sell human skeletons for upwards of $7,200. But Justin and Sonia didn't believe buying a human was morally right.
These are former people. These were someone's parents, someone's children, brothers, sisters. They need a little bit more respect than they're given.
Justin kept hunting, and he found a fraternal organization, he won't say which one, that was looking to offload skeletons they'd been using for rituals.
Ah.
And that's how Justin and Sonia ended up with 7 skeletons in their living room.
Well, wait a minute. Where's the ritual clip?
That's what I'd like to know. Hey. But what rituals are we talking about? What group was this? They won't name the group. They won't tell us the ritual. I think it's some cult. Could be the Democrat Party.
Hey, oh, that
could be Cosmic Pizza.
That's Comet. That's your Shaggy Bone, the Shaggy Bone, Shaggy Dog.
This is my Shaggy Bone story.
Hey, babe, want to see my bone? Come on, man. Oh, Comet Pizza.
I don't understand why you don't think this is the funniest series of clips I've ever given you. So, okay, there's a wrap up clip.
There's more.
There's, I think, a 5th, just a kind of a denouement.
Their goal, eventually, is to open a real ossuary, a building filled with human bones. They're thinking a church where people could visit and maybe get married and see the final resting place for forgotten remains. They know it sounds kind of weird.
When I was telling people this is what I'm doing this week, I'm going to visit some folks who rescue human remains, they were like...
what the So, like, what do you say to, what do you, how do you explain to people, like,
get to know someone like us first, because this is honestly not just unique, but it's trailblazing. It's different. It's something nobody's ever really seen before, and we have the opportunity do something wild, crazy, and cool. And you're standing here in my living room seeing this yourself. There's nothing gross here. There's no blood, no guts, and no gore. This isn't set up like Halloween or something. You're not coming in here to be...
And it really isn't. It's tasteful.
It's great.
The skeletons are in glass display boxes or hanging in coffins. They all have names. It's almost museum-like.
Uh-huh.
I'm not grossed out by it at all. I'm more intrigued. I'm interested in their interest in it all. I do wonder, though, how different are Justin and Sonia than any other collectors?
A lot different.
Do you you know what they should give to kids for Halloween?
Soup.
As the Podfather, I denounce this podcast. It shall be taken out of the index.
You know, the thing is, it's like... I think that they got that original skull I think it was a Twilight Zone like episode. There's something about it that infected them. And now this poor podcaster goes in and thinks this is normal and tasteful. Are you kidding me?
All right. Thanks.
So that's my Halloween clips, yes. Kids.
Yeah, that's great. Honestly, I was looking at the troll room. This sick bunch thought it was great.
Of course they did.
they thought it was great.
Everybody liked it but you.
All right. I need to do a couple of clips about DTCC. That's what I'm calling it now. DTCC.
What?
DTC. It's an acronym. DTCC. Oh, I thought you'd get it.
Deranged Trump Condition Characters.
Due to climate change.
Oh.
Millions of spectators, tens of thousands of first-time runners braving the course, and a handful of elite athletes fighting for first place. They're all hoping for one thing come race day, perfect weather.
Obviously, we're looking for, you know, morning lows in those 30s and 40 degrees, with hopefully not creeping up much more than the mid-50s. I think if you look it up out there, 52, 53 degrees seems to be like the ideal temp.
But that crisp air so highly sought after by runners may not stick around for marathons of the future. As our climate changes, so too does the fall feel.
So it's perfect weather for the marathon. Perfect weather. But
on average, New York City experiences a week and a half more of above normal fall days as compared to 1970. And that has a serious effect on runners.
If you're going to have the average go up, when you have that warm marathon, a degree or two, especially when you look at humidity, amount of moisture that's in the air, and that is shifting as well, the amount of moisture that warm air can hold, that's going to change how people sweat, how they evaporate sweat, and then how they finish a race.
Sustainable steps like raising funds to offset the marathon's carbon emissions, using solar generators to power tents, and taking the Staten Island Ferry to the starting line, all brand new initiatives organizers are taking with the goal of being net zero by 2040. Initiatives they hope will allow millions of runners from around the world to race through all five boroughs for years to come.
Due to climate change.
So thank you for that nonsense, New York ABC. But wait, this is because COP16 is now underway in Colombia. The big climate change conference. Climate change. Yeah, we got to do some stories. Any studies come out? Yeah, I got a study.
A new report reveals record-breaking health impacts due to shifts in climate. More than 120 scientists across the globe say every country is facing human health and survival threats. There's been a 167% increase in heat-related deaths since the 1990s. Millions of people have experienced food insecurity because of heat waves and droughts. The report shows people were exposed to 50 or more days of health-threatening temperatures around the world last year.
People's capacity to work outdoors is increasingly limited, and the health of workers is being put at risk. It's affecting the very foundations of good health, of well-being, of healthy livelihoods. And we know that climate change is the biggest threat that we're facing in the short and long term to our health.
That report published in The Lancet found heat-related deaths are most likely to one day exceed cold-related deaths
due to climate change.
So we're all going to die from climate change. And then a sad report, but also a huge lie about this this flooding in Valencia in Spain. This is unbelievable.
Residents of this small Valencian town were in shock Wednesday morning, a day after torrential rain caused the ravine to overflow its banks. The sudden downpour led to widespread flooding, damage to infrastructure, and incalculable material losses.
Never before in history has there been so much rain. You can't even imagine the amount of rain that fell here yesterday.
It's a catastrophe. The floods we had in 1982 when I was 10 years old were a joke compared to what happened here yesterday.
With dozens dead and the death toll expected to increase, the Spanish Parliament observed a minute of silence on Wednesday for victims of the catastrophe. Scientists warn that extreme weather, such as heat waves and storms, is becoming more intense as a result of human-induced climate change.
Due to climate change.
This is bull crap. Wikipedia even has this. In 1957, the 1957 Valencia flood was a natural disaster that occurred on October 14th, 1957. The flood resulted in significant damage to property, caused the deaths of at least 81 people, only about 10 times as much as this one. In response to the tragedy, the Spanish government devised and enacted the Plan Sur, which rerouted the city's main river, the one that just overflowed. Good work. A large number of floods have been recorded in Valencia from 1321 to 1897. Up to 75 floods are estimated to have taken place in the seven centuries prior to the 1957 flood. This is cyclical, people.
Due to climate change.
And they're just scamming us with this stuff. It kind of irks me.
I guess so.
And the best, though, Nike.
By the way, this is with everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I know.
Well, they just, let's leave out the facts.
It's fact light with no evidence. So this was a great story, though. Then this is my final due to climate change. The Nike Air sneakers. You remember that revolution of the Nike Air sneakers where you pumped air into it?
Yeah, you pump them up.
So it wasn't actually air. It was a gas. It was, I'm trying to see, what was it called? Sulfur hexafluoride.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which is it's, according to this article, the planet's most powerful greenhouse gas, 24,000 times more potent than carbon dioxide. So they learned about this. And then they went, oh. And in 2006, they eliminated this horrible heat-trapping gas from its shoes and decided instead to go to a new substance. What was the gas substitution? I think now it's just air. But they turned this into a $700 million boondoggle by getting carbon credits for removing the hexafluoride from the Air Jordans.
Oh, that's funny.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's a good bit.
$700 million.
Create a problem and then get rid of the problem and then get credit for getting rid of the problem that you created in the first place.
Due to climate change.
What a scam this is. What a scam. It's a scam. Like we didn't know it was a scam, but I just have to stay on it. This is kind of important because it's a moment for a native ad for TooManyEggs.com.
An experiment with promising results, a Harvard medical student eating 720 eggs in 1 month, finding that his cholesterol levels actually dipped 20%. Here to discuss is Fox News medical contributor, Dr. Nicole Sapphire. So Dr. Nicole and I both have new chicken coops. So we're big on eggs, but I'm about moderation. 720 eggs, crazy, but interesting that his cholesterol dipped.
Yeah, well, good morning, Rachel. And the big thing that comes out of this study is, first of all, I do not suggest anybody does extreme studies like this, but it is interesting. So let's look at it a little bit. He had a very large consumption of eggs over a month's period, and his cholesterol actually dropped 20%. Now, why is that? Well, the truth is he did change his diet a little bit differently, but the big take home here is that everyone's body is different, and what may be good for one person may not be good for someone else. My big take home, just like you, I'm a huge supporter of eggs. I think it is great for your overall health, especially your brain health. It has choline in it. But everything in moderation. And so some people are predisposed to high level of cholesterol because it's in their DNA, it's in their genes, and there's nothing they can do about it. And so those people, especially those who have diabetes, you know, eating a large amount of eggs can actually have negative impacts on their health. But the majority of overwhelming research does show that up to about 7 eggs a week not only isn't bad for your health, but it's probably really good for your health. Yeah. It decreases the risk of dementia and decreases your risk of stroke. So eat your eggs, guys.
Eat your eggs. TooManyEggs.com.
TooManyEggs.com.
You know, this whole...
I have a raw egg.
Are you eating it now?
On show days.
You eat a raw egg on show days?
Yeah.
Well, that explains a lot.
It doesn't explain anything.
Is that you just crack it open in the glass and then suck it down? Come on.
I mix it in with a concoction. I make a show day concoction.
Yes.
Which is proprietary at the moment.
No, hold on a second. I feel that you should be publishing this on this very podcast, telling us about the show day concoction. So
I'll do it as a tip of the day, upcoming tip of the day. Could be today. Could be the next tip of the day. I'm going to make it a tip of the day. The show day concoction. Now, the raw egg thing is sketchy because of the nature of the crappy industrial eggs, but luckily Jay up there in Rodeo with her husband, they have a bunch of chickens and they're getting these, you know, pretty pristine eggs from a, you know, chickens that don't get salmonella because they're not part of a giant flock. And so I use those eggs.
You are a curious man, John C. Dvorak.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
Yeah, on No Agenda.
Yeah, we got tip of the day coming up. I don't know if it's going to be John's show day egg concoction, but we'll hope that will be a tip of the day in the future. I'm very excited about hearing about that. We do have a tip coming up along with some dynamite end of show mixes, meetup reports, which are good, and we'll be welcoming our Commodores and some Knights and Dames and title changes. John will be thanking everybody who supported us $50 and above for today's episode.
Yeah, I will. That's what I'm going to do. Starting with Sir John, of all people. And he's in London, UK, London, England. And he came in with a 170.33, a belated 17th anniversary donation.
Hmm.
He's Sir John of South London. Top-notch heating it. I do this correctly. If you're in Manti, Utah, check out Top-Notch Heating and Air. Because they donated $110 to the No Agenda show. Mm-hmm. Texas Hot Glass. There she is in Smithville, Texas. And she donated $100. And we have the... I don't have a note. I guess there's no note that came with her stuff. Did it? No.
No.
But she... we talked about her swords and her website, which is TexasHotGlass.com, I believe.
Yes, it is.
And check it out if you want a bong. And by the way, she's got plenty of them. It's like she's making 10 bongs a day. Kevin McLaughlin in Concord, North Carolina. 8008 already. Yeah, 1708. He's the Archduke of Luna, lover of American boobs, along with Edward Owens in Alameda, California. 8008. We got a meetup coming up this Saturday.
Ah.
At the Trader Vic's in Emeryville, which will be a No Agenda meetup. And expect to see Edward there. And it'll be at 3:33 on Saturday. And bring your envelopes with checks in them and notes. I'll grab them as coming. I'll be there. And it's a family-friendly venue, so I expect to see Violet there.
Kids!
Expected, if there's no kids, we're never going to do one there again. Mark Morgan in Nicholasville, Kentucky, 7617. This is interesting. He said notes, and we have to make a note of this. I do, actually. He notices the show 1776 would coincide with July the 4th of next year.
No. Wow.
It turns out to be June 26th, but it's close enough. So that'll be the...
We'll take it.
We'll take it. Dana Carroll in Laughlin, Nevada, 7227. Jorge Alvarez in Punta Verde, Florida, at 7171. Sir Dodger in Parkersville, West Virginia, 6789. Craig Kohler.
He says, happy anniversary to my wife, Dame Misty, from Sir Dodge here in By God, West Virginia. They were married on October 31st, 2017 at 3:33 p.m.
Craig Kohler, Evansville, Indiana, 6502, which is a chip. That somebody remembers. It's the original Apple II chip. Jamie Buell in Vista, California, 6006, small boobs, as long as Les Tarkowski also says the same thing, 6006, and he's in Kingman, Arizona. Mark Hardwick in Aledo, Texas, 6006, there they are. And then Martin Martinez in Greeley, Colorado, go west, young man, $60. He wants to call out his friend. Is it Dielman? As a douchebag.
It's also his first time donating.
You've been de-douched.
He delivers the mail. So
mail guy.
We honor him, yes.
And there's Patrick Coble again in Fairview, Tennessee.
Sir Patrick Coble, Duke of the South.
Yeah, 5510 is a happy birthday call to his mom.
Hmm.
Preston Isaacson in Boca Raton, 5333. Anthony Fields in Asheville, North Carolina, 5271. Scott Nelson, Sir Scott in Council Bluffs, Iowa, 5001. The following people are $50 donors. There's one you're going to have to read because it's a knighting. Hockey Esparza, Elorriaga in Mexico City, 50. These are just names and locations. Zev Green in Teaneck, New Jersey. Edwin Torres in San Antonio. Justin Kaler in Buellton, Indiana. And here's a knighting thing you can read.
$50 from David Steele from Mobile and Alabama. He says, this layaway night plan I've just completed is actually a switcheroo for my smoking hot wife. Please allow her the title of Dame Emily of the Rosary, as I rarely find her without hers in her hand. I like to imagine she's saying all those decades for me and our three human resources, but I know that she includes an Ave or two here and there and Thanksgiving for Adam's progress on his faith journey. Oh, thank you. Of course, she would also pray Adam finds Rome and that John finds his way back. Find your way back, John. She converted me, and I've never had a better decision despite much of the nonsense so often in the news from the Vatican. You have a huge following among traditional Catholics and Latin Mass lovers and Christian fascists, I'm reliably informed. I'd like to thank one such fellow slave who wishes to remain anonymous to hit me in the mouth during the lockdowns. Keep your pagan karma. In fact, no jingles at all, as this note is too long as it is. Thank you for your courage. David Steele, now relegated back to douchebag status unless one of you can spare a penny. Yeah, I got it. I got a penny for you, brother. No problem. Thank you very much. She will be damned.
Our superstar back end guy, Void Zero, is a Latin Mass advocate.
He is. He is. And I think he's the treasurer of his church.
Leif Thompson, back to the list, in Meridian, Idaho. Brandon Locklear in Sugar Hill, Georgia. Joshua Johnson in Omaha, Nebraska. Tony Lang in Castle Pines, Colorado. Jordan Tierney in Oral, South Dakota, as opposed to anal.
Okay. All right. You know what that is? That's the egg talking right there.
Scott McCarty in Lodi. Jeremy Graves in Newhall, Iowa. That came in from Stripe. Bob Newell in Penfield, Pennsylvania. Jean Richmond in South Portland, Maine, with a birthday call out. It's coming up. And Marjorie Dries, the last on the list, in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I want to thank these people for making the show 1708 the reality that it became.
And thank you all if you came in with sustaining donations under 50 or under 50 just to remain anonymous, which we will never read, to keep you anonymous as requested. Go to noagendadonations.com, support the show if you got any value from today's program. And I think if you're still listening, you probably did. Thank you again, noagendadonations.com. Rachel turned 42 on the 27th. We say happy birthday, Ed Lyon. Happy birthday to his son, Nathan Lyon. He turned 11 yesterday. Jeannie Richmond says happy birthday to Jason. He's celebrating on the 3rd. And Patrick Coble wishes his mom a very happy birthday on this spooky day. Happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. It's your birthday. Title changes. We do have three title changes. Viscount Not Sure becomes Count Not Sure, protector of the Tri-Lakes, Sir Nick Dragon of the Four Domains, now to be known as Baron Sir Nick Dragon and purveyor of the Blarg. And Dame Bang Bang, you heard it earlier with a note, Dame Bang Bang, Viscountess of the native Chumash territory, with a map, in case you're wondering about it. Congratulations to you with your uppage and your peerage status, and thank you all very much for supporting the best podcast in the universe. We appreciate it. I got a kind of a snarky note from a retired Army dude. He's like, hey, you let the Navy capture the Commodore segment. It's boring. We're going to change that up as you finish up this promotion. So he gave me some sound effects to play. I'm not going to play them all. And he gave us a script, which is a very bad idea because we can't follow scripts at all. However, I will use your musical bed. That was quite snappy. It's a toe tapper. And we will be welcoming the following Commodores. Remember, go to NoAgenda.
Do we have some make good notes or anything on this list?
Yeah, that would you just let me organize everything?
Well, you're doing it out of the normal order.
No, I always do the Commodores, and then I do the make good, the layaway knights and the make goods, and then I go into the knightings and the damings.
Let me write this down.
Commodores is inserted here. You got it? Are you good?
I'm good. I got it written down.
You can go to noagendarings.com to let us know exactly where to send your Commodore certificate and what name you would like on it. So with that, we ring the bell 6 times. And thanks to the Army, we'll bring in some snappy music as we welcome the following Commodores. Commodore Sir Who Dat, Commodore Sir Artless Chance, Commodore Kim the B-52 pilot, Commodore Martin Graff, Commodore Kirk of the South Bay, Commodore Sir Karras, Commodore Smelt, Commodore Q, Commodore Bowman McMahon, Commodore Sir Nick, Commodore Dame Bang Bang, Commodore Dave McLean, and Commodore Olivia Errant of the Simulacrum and all over Australia. Commodores arriving!
I like the bed.
Yeah. Oops. Now it won't stop. It won't stop. Hold on.
But
there we go.
Why is this Army guy bitching and moaning? He could become a Commodore too.
Well, I don't know. It's what Army guys do.
They complain a lot.
Army guys. Here's the make good. ITM. Guys, while trying to keep my notes short for episode 1706, I completely missed the fact that I was due for a title change. We just gave it to him. I would like to claim my title of Count and henceforth be known as Count Not Sure, protector of the Tri-Lakes. Always love the I Got Ants with a little dash of karma. Mark Rachal, he says, I'd just like to point out for those that need to hear it, when you move the goalpost to the left, the former centered thinking individuals now appear to be off-centered. Keep up the fantastic work, and here's to 4 more years. Justin Kaler, layaway knight, about to be knighted from Northern Indiana. After 20 months of sustaining donations, I've reached knighthood status. I would like to be known as Sir Justin of the Parlor City. At the round table, I would like a round of Nelson's Green Briar Tennessee Whiskey. Actually, did I order that?
Huh.
Are you familiar with this this particular brand of stuff? Hold
on. Probably a sour mash is my guess.
He wants, and what does he want that with? He wants that with Tennessee with and a Camacho Triple Maduro cigar.
Yeah. Triple Maduro must be black.
I mean, at that point, you're just like coughing up a lung on that thing. Okay, well, we got one. I'm not going to, I stopped smoking, so I won't do it anymore. A de-douching. Oh, a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
Thank you for the media deconstruction. And four more years, says Sir Justin of Parlor City, just about to be Sir Justin. And another layaway night, Kevin says, hey, guys, been a listener for such a long time. I remember hearing Adam on Buzz Out Loud. And giving your podcast a try. I don't remember this.
You ever went on Buzz Out Loud?
With Molly. Yeah, I went on with Molly all the time. Sure.
All the time?
I've been at least three or four times.
Huh.
Yeah, when they were live, too. Thank you for changing my worldview.
Was
that and
Molly and Tom? Tom yeah. was there?
No, not Tom. It was the Asian kid was doing it. I think Tom was gone by
Chang?
Then. Chang, yeah. I think Tom was gone by then. Thank you for changing my worldview and shrinking my amygdala. I've been on the 1111 monthly donation plan since 2013. Can I please get a birthday karma shout out from you guys? And I would also like to be knighted Sir Kevin, Bully of the Broad Streets. Good name. Thank you guys. Bless you both for helping me understand this crazy world a bit better. And here's to four more years. And there you go. So with that, bring out your hot Texas hot glass sword. Careful, you don't want to smash it.
Yeah, be careful.
There it is. Thank you, Dave Black, Dame Loca. Velocity 432, Emily, Kevin, Justin Kaler, Quint Wine Newell, Douglas Longenecker, and Ryan Tiernan. Come on at the podium. All of you now qualified to become knights and dames of the No Agenda Roundtable. I'm very proud to pronounce the KD as Dame Velocity 432, Dame Emily of the Rosary, Sir Kevin Bully of the Broad Street, Sir Justice of the Parlor City, Sir Sigma, Sir Doug of the Watchers, and Sir Dibs on Living Recreations Director of Chateau d'Yves. Yes, for you, we have Hookers and Blow, Ren Poison Chardonnay, along with that double mac and fries and mead, Nelson's Green Tennessee Whiskey, and Camacho Triple Maduro Cigar, and of course, as always, mutton and mead lined up right here for you, ready to go. Go to noagendarings.com. You'll probably meet some Commodores while you're over there. You can see that beautiful ring, which is a signet ring, so we send it to you once you send us your ring size. There's a ring sizing guide on the website, and of course, you'll get some wax with that. Since it is a signet ring, you can seal your important correspondence with it, along with, yes, another certificate of authenticity. And welcome to the roundtable.
No agenda.
No agenda meetups. I really realized I've been talking to a lot of people. You know, they say, I went to my first meetup. It was so good. The no agenda producers that you see at a meetup, they are your first responders. I think this Tennessee, Western North Carolina, even Florida, these hurricanes showed you that you can't be waiting around for the government. I don't know where we all got this idea that the government's going to save you. They'll come in eventually. They'll do their thing. But it's these people that you meet at the meetups. They are your first responders. Connection always brings protection. I'm going to give you a meetup report from Minneapolis. A note on these meetup reports. I don't mind editing out spaces. I don't mind trying to filter some stuff. But listen to what you've recorded before you send it to me. There were three reports I could not play. They're just inaudible. This one, I kind of was able to make it usable, but it sounds like they recorded this on, I don't know, what were those first MP3 players? The very first one, is it the Rio?
Rio would be one of them.
I mean,
but they never recorded.
No, I'm thinking, what was that long, kind of longest one? It looked like a thumb.
I don't know.
And it had a little display on it. Well, it sounds bad.
Aloha, this is Dame Jesse Lee of Lahaina coming to you from Minneapolis, Minnesota, where they haven't been spraying enough chemtrails to keep the 75-degree weather away. Katie Tierney, I am Rob, the constitutional lawyer's little sister and better-looking one, and I was told this would be a sex event. Apparently, it was not.
Tom Tierney in the morning. Allen in Minneapolis, FEMA region number 5. Congratulations, gentlemen, on 17 years. Special greetings to Adam. I appreciate you very much.
Kamala.
Hello. This is Ashley Slater. Connection is protection.
This is Kyle from Minneapolis. End the Fed.
This is Rick from Minnesota. Not 17 more years.
This is Jeff in Minneapolis, where we're still waiting for Beyonce.
Hey, this is Dave, and Dame Jessie is the best. Thanks for organizing it in the morning.
This is Jamie from Minneapolis, and the chemtrails were fabulous today.
I like
this. Hold on. I can tell you what they did wrong. You don't take your iPhone, put it on record, and put it in a bucket and put it in the corner and yell into the bucket. That is not the way the professionals do it.
Maybe it was Joe Biden's audio guy who did that. I don't know, but this was, it's how can you even make it so bad? The sound, maybe it was on a Nokia. That's what it sounded
an
like.
An old realistic cassette recorder that somebody puked on the microphone, so it has no sound anymore.
Sir Spooky's Halloween Spooktacular meetup is a written report. It was the third time they did this, a success. 10 people in total. Everybody went home with Halloween candy and a raffle prize. And even the liberal was happy. But in all seriousness, everyone in the group had unique viewpoints and got along just fine. Lots of new faces beyond comparing Trump's appearance on Joe Rogan and Kamala on Call Her Daddy. We hardly even talk politics. Just really nice people enjoying the Halloween festivities. Everyone's always welcome at our Chicago meetups. Finally, we continued in the tradition of watching Adam's Swamp Thing episode. It gets better with every viewing. Can you provide any retrospective about your experience? It would be a fun way to celebrate Halloween to hear about this. Well, we're running long today. One of these days, I will give you a retrospective on my Swamp Thing episode. It is, of course, my acting debut. Fabulous.
Yeah, you got nominated.
Yeah, for something. Florida's having a meetup pretty soon, and they like to send in promos for their meetups.
In the morning, Florida producers, I wanted to formally invite you to our November to Remember meetup in the Gainesville, Ocala area on Sunday, November 17th at 12 p.m. for our glass bottom boat tour of the Silver Springs River. It's going to be a big meetup, really big. Some might even say huge, with lots of beautiful people. I don't know if we'll win or lose, but either way, it's going to be like a party. Let's make Florida meetups great again.
Meetups coming up a little closer on the calendar tomorrow, in fact. The Moval meetup, 6 o'clock at PJ Sports Bar in Moreno Valley, California.
Moreno.
The Columbia River Basin meetup, part due, 7 o'clock, Cider House, Richland, Washington. On Saturday, the Pittsburgh and No Agenda meetup, 1 o'clock at Public Industry Public House in Pittsburgh. Also on Saturday, the Central Jersey, 7:32, We Drink and We Know Things, 2 o'clock. Oh, that's Sir R. Daniels doing that at the Garden State Distillery in Toms River. The Northern Silicon Valley Get John Out of the House meetup. There it is. It's 5.0 Trader Vic's in Emeryville, California. Bring your kids. And
well, the last, I think, of the Trader Vic's chains. And the Trader Vic's chain began in Emeryville. It was a different location. And then they built this fancy place over there on the landfill. Hmm. And it's a gorgeous spot, but I think it's the end of the era for Trader Vic's.
Bring your kids to Trader Vic's and meet John. That'll set him straight. He'll tell him about
you. Eat a raw egg, kid.
Whatever, kids. If he says he ran out of toilet paper, don't try and hand him any, because he's got another trick up his sleeve. And then finally on Sunday, the Myrtle Beach Meet Freely, M-E-A-T, Freely before the election, 3:30, RSVP, please, to Rusty Dirt. That'll be at Swiggin Swine, Myrtle Beach, Florida. I guess they may be renting out the whole place. Many more meetups to be found on the calendar on the website at noagendameetups.com. Connection is protection. These are your first responders. I strongly suggest that you go to a No Agenda meetup at least once. Trust me, you'll want to go back for more. Noagendameetups.com. If you can't find one near you, start one yourself. Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days.
news. You wanna be where you want me, triggered or hell or lame. You wanna be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party.
Well, to make up for this horrible, horrible lack of ISOs on the last show, I, of course, have way too many ISOs.
Oh, run them off.
Yeah, rip it is what he said. Okay.
Crazy.
Okay, crazy. Mm-hmm.
We're not going to have a final answer on that.
Yeah, I don't like that one. I'm going to dump that one. This one people have sent me over and over and over again, so I finally clipped it. I guess we need to make an ISO out of it.
No.
Underwhelmed?
It's a cleansing. You know, it's really a cleansing.
And then the final one.
So eat your eggs, guys.
There you go. Eat your eggs.
Well, I couldn't even understand what she said.
So eat your eggs, guys.
Eat your eggs, guys. That wasn't that hard.
Oh, eat your eggs.
Yeah. Okay. I guess you don't like any of them.
No, I did like the Trump one a little bit.
Okay. What you got?
I got four.
Okay.
Let's start with elections.
Elections.
One day, the election will be over.
Huh?
Yeah. It's doable.
Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
That's probably appropriate.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And then we have, not right.
That's just not right.
Yeah, that's as bad as my Kamala.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. She always sounds like she's in a bucket.
Yeah.
And then support.
Please support our work.
Huh? No, I think
please support our work.
Yeah, but the K was cut off, which was unfortunate. Please support our work.
Happy Halloween.
That's the one you want. Happy Halloween. Okay, straightforward. And now, everybody, it's time for it. Will it be the raw egg? John's tip of the day.
Great advice for you and me. Just a tip with JCD. And sometimes Adam.
This tip was provided by Mimi. It wasn't the raw egg.
Ah, bummer.
It's the bummer?
Bummer, dude.
Far out, groovy.
Bummer, dude.
This is the Tevla fee. This is $90. It's your own. You can get them. I don't know where. T-E-V. I'm sorry. I get the hiccups now. T-E-V-L-A-P-H-E-E. Wheel lock.
Wheel lock? Is this for Mimi's motorcycle?
It's a Boston boot.
Hmm.
And you can put it on your car. She has a mower. A drive mower, you know, a mower you can drive around.
We need a picture in the newsletter of Mimi on the driving lawnmower.
Okay.
All right.
So, but she gets this mower and she leaves it out and she says, you know, somebody can just jump on this thing, start it up and drive it off and have a mower. And so she found this Boston boot and they have different sizes. You can find different sizes. And you can get one for a car. You can get one for a mower.
Now you put this on the steering. You put this on the steering wheel.
No, this is a Boston boot. You know what a Boston boot is?
Well, I know a boot on a car wheel. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what this is.
Huh.
It goes on the car wheel, so you can't drive the car off. I mean, if you just can't, if you can even get it to go past a little bit,
wait
of the
minute,
kind of
wait
ruin
a
the car.
There's a flaw in this. So I'm a junkie. I'm jacked. I'm a jacked up junkie. I'm going to steal this car. I jump in the car. I start it and I just like peel out. What's going to happen with this Boston? Something's going to break. It's going to ruin my car.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing?
Well, you don't, nobody in their right mind would try to drive a car with a Boston boot.
Yeah, but I'm a junkie. I'm a junkie.
Junkies can't drive.
Okay, I don't know about this tip. I mean, I can see for the lawnmower, I can see that. You know, I think
it's for the lawnmower. It's where you have outdoor equipment you can drive off. Buy one of these things, put it on there, and you won't have to worry about it. You won't need a hound dog outside. That's the tip.
That's your tip of the day, everybody. Dad, take that. Coming soon, raw egg concoction for show day.
Great advice for you and me. Just a tip with JCB.
All right.
And sometimes Adam.
We have actually had a lot of tips today. Serve soup. tonight for the trick-or-treaters. They'll love you for it. A lot of good things. A lot of good things. We have definitely done our duty, I feel. Thank you all who supported us. Commodores, executive producers, associate executive producers, producers $50 and above, and our sustaining producers. Thank you all so much. NoAgendaDonations.com. We really appreciate what you're doing. Stay tuned to the No Agenda stream. You can just keep listening in the app if you want to, or if you're on trollroom.io and noagenda.stream. Up next, Nick the Rat. This is his show from last night, so that should be a spooktacular show, since Nick is all about that, in the sewer, if you know what I mean. End of show mixes, David Kechta, Isaac Contreras, Tom Starkweather, and Jeffrey Crocker. We got some cracking end of show mixes. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where if you don't give the trick-or-treaters soup, give them canned goods. I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Sunday, looking forward to it, just before the election. We'll see you then. Adios, mofos, a hooey hooey, and such.
Woo! How do you like my garbage truck? This truck is in honor of Kamala and Joe Biden.
Garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
So, just to clarify, he was not calling Trump supporters garbage.
The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
So, just to clarify, he was not calling Trump supporters garbage. Garbage.
His supporters.
Garbage.
His supporters.
Garbage.
Is going in the right direction, is on the right track.
He is a worthy generation. We love Trump from our bottom of the heart because we know Trump is the only one can save America.
So I heard these two different guys say, Kamala.
Kamala?
And then he said, Kamala Akamala.
Oh, he corrected himself.
That's what it sounded like, didn't it? That's exactly what I thought the first time I heard it. The first time, the second time when I heard Kamala, he said Kamala Kamala. Kamala is Spanish for is bad, was bad, is bad. It's malo, it means bad.
Oh, Kamala, Kamala.
Kamala and Kamalo, which is bad if you're, the masculine version, but yes. It's Kamala. And so it specifically said Kamala. So they don't want you saying Kamala because it sounds like Kamala.
Oh.
And these guys were saying it, and the white host gringos, they were missing the point. So you look out for this. This is going on.
Oh,
so I talked to him about this. I talked to him about it. He also mentioned to me that if you pronounce it a certain way, Kamala also is the Spanish for burn her.
Yes, sir.
So I think, but it's mainly it's the bad. It's, you know,
oh, man.
Who bad, what bad, you know, she's bad, whatever, you know, the overall. How bad is what it technically is.
Yes, how bad.
So how bad, which is what they don't want you thinking. And so as I was talking to him, I said, you know, these Latinos for Trump, he says, he makes the comment, he says, it's, and he's in Berkeley, he says, yeah, it's really something. Meaning, telling me that this Mexican turnout and this you know, this Latino turnout, Chicano, whatever you want to call them at this point.
Chicanos.
Chicanos.
It's hello, 1950.
Yeah, hello, Vato.
Orale, Vato, what's happening?
You know what it is? I want to be a whale psychiatrist. It drives the whales freaking crazy. Yes. Something happens with them. But for whatever reason, they're getting washed up on shore. And, you know, and yet the environment is
ignored by the environment.
Yeah, but the environmentalists, they don't talk about it.
The name game. Kamala. Kamala, Mala, Hohala, Bufala, Della, Egala. Hey, Hohala, Kamala.
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris.
I know her. But Kamala was for Biden and Kamala.
Come on, everybody. I say, now let's play a game. I bet you I can make her
Kamala.
Out of anybody's name.
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris.
I treat it like I wasn't there.
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris.
People like Kamala Harris.
But as Kamala said,
Kamala Harris.
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 Kamala Harris is talking about this.
Come, Kamala Harris.
Come, come, Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris.
Come, come, Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris is talking about this.
The name
Mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Happy Halloween!